Will be.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to the regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee. And this will be a joint meeting with the Planning and Development Board as soon as they have a quorum. Currently, we have two members of the Planning and Development Board with us, Barney Heath, the Director of the Planning Department, as well as Peter Doringer at the center table. From the City Council Land Use Committee, we have Councilor James Cody, Councilor at Large from Ward 3, to my left, Councilor Deborah Crossley, Councilor at Large from Ward 5, to my left, Councilor Jacob Alkengloss, Councilor at Large from Ward 2, to my right, and President Scott Lennon, Councilor at Large from Ward 1, all members of the committee. We also have Councilor Susan Albright from Ward 2, not a member of the committee, but an emeritus, as well as a welcome guest. My name is Greg Schwartz. I'm Councilor at Large from Ward 6 and Vice Chair of the committee. I'll be chairing the meeting until our Chair Mark Laredo gets here in about half an hour. We also have staff from the city with us. We have Nadia Khan, the clerk for the committee, Alexandra Nance from the Planning Department, Senior Planner, sorry, Chief Planner, apologize, and Bob Roddick from the Law Department. So just to remind everybody, this meeting is both audio taped for our records, as well as it's being videotaped by New TV tonight, and I'm under the impression that some excerpts might be on the Newton News program next Wednesday on New TV. So we're going to start with some brief business. We have the first item on our agenda is probably not what everybody is here for. It is a consistency ruling relative to 360 Ward Street for modifications to garage. Alexandra, if you want to just quickly run through that for us.
Sure, thank you very much. So in April of 2016, the board approved a special permit for an extension of a non-conforming use with respect to the front setback for a garage addition at 360 Ward Street. Since the petitioner has received a special permit, he has requested to revise the plans a little bit. Previously, he was seeking a two-car garage in his basement, and it's only going to be a one-car garage now. So it's actually less of a build-out than was originally approved. That means there will be one exterior parking stall in the driveway, which is allowed in one- and two-family houses. I have the plans here, but basically that's really it. It's just a change from one garage bay facing the street, from two garage bays facing the street down to one.
Great. Thank you, Alexandra. Are there any questions or comments from the committee? Alderman Cody.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Chair. Just my only question to Alexandra is do you guys have any issue, does planning have any issue with this at all?
No, we have no concerns.
Okay.
It's really a point of information since the plans have changed.
Okay. I guess my only question would be, so if that's not a garage space in the basement, is there a living space that's taking over?
No, they're basically going to do less excavation.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, if there are no other concerns or questions from the committee members, and I'm seeing none, I think we don't normally take votes on these consistency rulings, so we would say it's consistent. So we're all set. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Alexandra. All right, now moving on to our other. Moving on.
Okay.
I'll stop touching it. So I know a lot of you are probably here for the Washington Place petition. If you're not, you might be in the wrong room. This is basically a meeting where we're looking at both the 180-16, which is a special permit petition to rezone the Aura block to a mixed-use 4 from a business use, and also 179-16, which is a special permit petition to make a number of waivers, as you know, just to read into the record. It's a transit-oriented development in excess of 20,000 square feet. Building height 60 feet, 5 stories. Total gross floor 238,000 square feet, 171 residential units. So there are a number of reliefs that are being requested. So the way we're going to run the meeting tonight is there have been a number of changes to the proposal. So we're going to have the petitioner's representatives present those to the committee and to the public. That we're told that will take about 25 to 30 minutes. Then in the interest of getting as much opportunity for the public to speak on this, we're going to actually skip over our usual practice of having the counselors ask questions and the planning department make comments. We're going to go straight to the individual comments of 3 minutes or less from individuals of the public. And then later in the meeting, we'll try to bring it back to the counselors and the planning department. And what we would like to do is we'd like to start out with individual comments from the public in that section of the meeting, and then I believe there are two organized presentations from the public as well that have been put together that we'll hear at the end of the public comment period of the meeting. Okay? So just a reminder of the ground rules, we do try to limit individual comments to 3 minutes just so that everybody can get a chance to speak. The meetings often do go late and we're trying to finish by 10. So it's in the interest of that we want to limit your comments. If you feel that you don't have enough time to give your full comments, you can always submit them to the clerk, as well as there are going to be more meetings and you can speak again. But also in the interest of fairness, if you have spoken at a previous meeting, please allow those who have not to speak first. And with that, we'll start with the petitioner's presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, members of the planning board. For the record, my name is Stephen Bookbinder. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Schlesinger and Bookbinder, with offices at 1200 Walnut Street, Hamilton Highlands. Our focus this evening will be the revised design of the development, including the three proposed buildings in the intersection at Washington Street and Walnut Street. First, a few small housekeeping items. Last week, we submitted the petition's responses to the questions raised by counselors and the planning department during and after the June and July public hearings. Earlier this week, we submitted additional materials which the committee had requested relative to possible office use at the site. In the event that you did not receive those materials, please let me know and we'll be sure you get a copy. We have also prepared a Councillor Crosley suggestion at an earlier public hearing, a traffic simulation. The traffic simulation will not show very clearly on a large screen in this room. We have suggested showing the simulation across the hall in 204, formerly in 209, on a few different dates and times. The planning department will coordinate those dates and times, and they will be open to the public as well as to the members of the council and the members of the planning board. We will have Randy Hart, who we'll hear from later this evening, from DHB, our traffic engineer, present to run those simulations and answer any and all questions about them. This would occur later in the month of October, prior to the next public hearing on the Senate on November 1st. Finally, in view of the design changes, we're going to review our initial request for waivers with the planning department prior to November 1st, and we'll be prepared to clarify those at that time. In some cases, the waivers will be less because of changes you'll see tonight in the plans. Now, with respect to this evening, as the chairman and acting chairman know, that we've been asked to limit our presentation, which we're happy to do, because of that, we're not going to go into exhaustive detail on everything we're going to show tonight. We want to get everything out to you, but we're certainly available to answer questions later in the evening. With respect to the design changes which have been made since the last hearing, I just wanted to summarize these very briefly. First of all, we've reduced the massing of the building. Next, we've increased the sidewalk width on both Washington Street and Walnut Street. We've incorporated two bicycle lanes on Walnut Street, and those, as you'll see, will extend not only from the site, but also over the bridge and down to Lunenville Avenue. We've added a pedestrian connection between Walnut Street and the Outdoor Plaza, as was suggested at a prior meeting. We've provided additional landscaping in the surface parking lot and additional green space on the roof. We've also formally incorporated 3-bedroom units into the proposed unit mix. So at this point, I'd like to turn this over to Shauna Gillis-Smith to review the proposed landscape details. Shauna?
Thank you very much, Steve. My name is Shauna Gillis-Smith from Ground Landscape, located in Somerville. This first slide that you see here is a slide that is comparing the previous scheme presented in June with the current scheme today, the scheme that we're discussing today. The orange solid massing is the scheme that we will discuss today at the ground level. The blue line is the outline of the previous ground level that was presented in June. And to summarize the big differences between the schemes, if we look at the leftmost or westmost building, it's shifted by approximately 6 feet to the west, and was cut back along about half of its frontage by 5 to 10 feet along the length of it. The eastmost building mass shifted by 11 to 15 feet, again to the west, which resulted in the small narrowing of the linear part of the plaza by about 5 feet, and pretty significantly wide sidewalks on both Walnut and Washington. The net pedestrian open space within the property is about 17,000 square feet after these moves. So on Washington Street, the sidewalk in this location is at 14 feet. In this location is about 22 feet, and then 16 feet in this location. Along Walnut Street, actually it's probably better to see it on the next slide. So along Walnut Street, because the street is sloping, it is approximately, it goes from 15 feet to 20 feet, with a small area at this edge that's about 28 feet where we have the bump out. We've also, as Steve mentioned, we've included a pedestrian connection from Walnut to the plaza area. And as you can see, we've maintained the green buffer along the parking lot edge between the project and the Foster Street neighbors. We have added trees within the parking lot as per the request. And then generally we have maintained the same idea of the plaza that comes right out to the street with the decorative paving, continuing all the way out to the street to invite people into the plaza. So with that, I'll use this slide to hand the pointer over.
David Chilinski with Poet Chilinski Associates. Just picking up a little bit on what Shauna was discussing, this new pedestrian connection, we've actually used this opportunity to relocate. We were here before you talking about a 2,000 square foot community room, and we thought because we're creating this pedestrian connection, the public connection, that we could relocate the elevator to this location, which would allow us to relocate. The community room was preliminarily there. It's now in a location that's much more sort of a part of that central community space that we had created. That's at the second floor, with access via its own elevator. Just some highlights from this slide. We were mentioning the green roof we have in this building here, the west building, and a roof deck which works off of these amenity spaces here.
in the what we're calling the middle building. As Shauna indicated, the buildings have been shifted on the site, but they've also been sculpted, and you'll see that in some visuals that I'm about to share with you. But essentially, the highlights are that the building has stepped back around the perimeter here, and quite significantly, the building has stepped back where we've relocated two units that were previously on that in this area and replaced it with a green roof. This was our previous slide back in June, where we had a view looking south on Walnut Street. As I just described to you, we have, with the changes that have been made to Walnut Street, the road from building wall to building wall is actually much wider, and we'll get into the specific dimensions in a few minutes. But essentially, this is that area where we have relocated some units within the project, so that essentially the building feels like it's four stories here at this rear corner. This is a view of the pedestrian connection that takes you through to the inner courtyard from Walnut. And then just very briefly, we came last meeting, and we're talking about a public realm with a sidewalk that looked like this, dimensions about an average of 12 feet and anywhere from 10 to 17 feet. But with the change in the road configuration and pushing back the building, the average is now about 17 feet on Walnut, and it ranges in size from 15 to 20. Significantly, this apron at this front corner, which you'll see as part of the reconstituted intersection, also added quite a bit of sidewalk and public realm in that location. Previously, this was a look west on Washington Street, where we had a 12-foot sidewalk, street trees, street lights. We've worked pretty hard to enhance that public realm. It's now 22 feet in width, and for a good section of the building is actually covered under a canopy, which we think will greatly enhance the ability to use this for pedestrians and for street front cafes. Walking a little bit further down Washington Street, this is a view back through between the building that's on the corner and what I'm referring to as the building in the middle of the block. And this is a view back through to that central courtyard. This is a view along Washington Street looking back towards the corner, towards Walnut down at this end, which is essentially the entry to the residential lobby in this location. And we had a number of comments about some of the architecture, which we took to heart. And we're here today with another approach to this most westerly building. And essentially, if I can't get too much into the weeds about this, but the idea behind it is to pick up 40 and 50 foot widths of masonry building, sort of larger townhouse, individual building like elements that would march down the street with breaks, anywhere from 10 to 30 feet between them, but essentially to feel like a series of buildings along a row along the street, and then as I mentioned, setting back that upper story. Just give you a little bit of sense about how that building meets the ground and how we're articulating the retail and signage to give it identity with this, with these canopies for the individual retailers that we expect. And now I'm going to hand it over to Randy, who's going to walk you through some of the traffic improvements.
Well, good evening. Randy Hart with Vanessa Hangin of Brooklyn DHB. We are the traffic consultants on the project. Since we were last before you, we spent a lot of time working with staff to refine the site entry and the off-site intersection and roadway improvements. And some of the changes that we've made as a result of those conversations are that we've included bike lanes now on Walnut Street, both sides of Walnut Street, starting at Foster Street and extending southerly all the way over the bridge. We've added an additional southbound lane on Walnut Street as it approaches Washington Street. We've added a left-turn pocket at the Walnut Street entry to the site to allow the vehicle to make a left while northbound traffic can continue. We have increased the pedestrian bump outs on all four corners of the Washington and Walnut Street intersection to shorten the crossing distance for pedestrians. And we've continued to say that as part of this project, we will completely upgrade the intersection signalization at Washington and Walnut Street, creating a modern-day traffic signal capable of multiple timing and phasing plans, and one which is also completely ADA compliant. To give you a sense on the change that is expected as a result of the change in the bump outs that we're proposing, existing conditions at the intersection of Walnut and Washington suggest that the crosswalk today on the north at Walnut is 67 feet across, 100 feet on the southern leg, 74 feet on the eastern portion of Washington, and 79 feet on the western portion. Under the proposed revision to the intersection, the 67-foot crosswalk would be reduced to about 61 feet on the north section of Walnut Street. The 100-foot cross-section would be reduced to about 70 feet, a 30-foot reduction. On the easterly leg, 74 feet reduces down to 50, or a 24-foot reduction. And then finally, on the western side, the 79-foot crosswalk reduces down to 55 feet. So you can see we're making substantial modifications that really shorten the crossing distance for all pedestrians at this location. Another thing that has come up during our conversations with the city is they asked if we could do something to the interior of the intersection to make it more appealing, more aesthetically pleasing. And what we're looking at is potentially doing some type of stamped asphalt, something similar to that that would look like bricks or cobbles or whatever you want to make it. The coloring would be into the material itself and not something that would be painted on, so you can color it whatever color you like. It will stay and wear well and look like bricks, cobbles, whatever is finally decided, but it will add an element of interest. It will dress up the intersection significantly from what it is today. On Walnut Street, in a northerly direction, the site is over here. This is the site access driveway. We made a few changes in this area. One is that we've added demarcation within the street, basically do not block intersection. There will be signage to supplement that as well. We added it in the area of our driveway, but we extended it to include the driveway of our neighbor just immediately to the north. Our analysis shows with the future improvements at Washington Street, even during the worst peak hour, that the queues will not even extend to this portion of the driveway. It will be back into this area here. But if it does, the signage and the demarcation of the roadway will help to ensure the intersection does not get blocked. We also added a left-turn pocket here to allow left-turning vehicles to get out of the way of somebody who's headed in a northbound direction. This is, again, something that the city staff was very interested in, something we were able to put on the plan. Looking now at Walnut Street, back away from the crosswalk, so the interior part, under existing conditions, today there's a 10-foot sidewalk on the east side, 10-foot sidewalk on the west side, and in between there's a 50-foot section which comprises the on-street parking and the two travel lanes. With the modifications that are being proposed, we would still maintain the 10-foot sidewalk on the easterly side, but on the western side, the sidewalk increases to approximately 20 feet in that particular area, and then the distance between is 59 feet. And the 59 feet incorporates on-street parking on both sides of the street, 6-foot bike lanes, and then 2 southerly lanes and 1 northbound lane. As we said before, the crosswalk goes to 61 feet at the intersection itself. That's a quick summary of the highlight of the changes that we've made. I'm going to turn the microphone to Damian, who will talk more about the design issues.
Hi, my name is Damian Chaviano. I'm a principal with Mark Development, the petitioner. As you've heard tonight, we've made a significant number of design changes. Quite candidly, that's really been a byproduct of the 18-month discussion that we've had with the general community and the city council race to date. What we've tried to do is incorporate your feedback in our current proposal, but what I wanted to put forth to you tonight is a study that shows you an alternative scenario that we wanted you to consider as you look at our current proposal. One of the comments that we've heard relates to massing, and so what you're about to see is a study that focuses in two areas on reducing the height from 5 stories to 4 stories and what the implications would look like from a design and aesthetic perspective. The two locations that I'm going to focus on are on Walnut Street and on Washington Terrace. So if you start with what David Chalinski presented earlier, you can see we've already, in our current proposal, agreed to remove 2 units at the back side of the site on Walnut Street in the northeast corner. What we asked David and his team to do was to look at the streetscape on Walnut and tell us where the building was the most pronounced from a height perspective so we could truly understand the visual implications of the 5 stories. What you see here is a view on Walnut Street with your back to the Bram office building that highlights the 5th story, step back. What we then asked was to see what it looked like by removing that 5th story and dropping to 4. What you can see here illustrated, it's a little bit faint, so I apologize, but there's a yellow line in the ghosted structure. Where we then went is we moved across the street, heading down Walnut, south, and we looked at what the implications would be from across the street to this 5th, removing that 5th level. Going to the next slide, you can see here where the arrows pointed, what that view would look like if we were to take that 4 off. What we then wanted to do was look at the implications of removing the 5th floor from Washington Terrace. Just to orient you guys so everyone understands what's happening, okay, this is the current site plan. The area that we talked about was right here, and the setback from our property line is currently 47 feet. If you move to Washington Terrace, we have a 5-story building that runs north to south with a 90-foot setback from our property line. What I'm about to show you is a reduction in height from 5 stories to 4 stories on Washington Terrace with a pushback towards our property line. So taking our 90-foot setback and reducing it by 45 feet to a 45-foot setback and adding 4,000 square feet of space on the ground floor level to further activate Washington Terrace. Before I go into the renderings, what I want to do is give you a sense of what this means from the street level. Okay? So what you're looking at right now is a view from Washington Terrace, the existing condition if your back was to the post office. The buildings at the forefront are the 4 multifamily homes that are currently there. As you can see today, this building is 7 feet from our property line and effectively in about 33 feet in height. Moving left to right, the buildings range in the mid-30s to up to 41 feet in height. Our current proposal, as you saw tonight, with a 90-foot setback from the property line, includes a 5-story, 58-foot building as it sits today. To give you a sense of what I'm about to show you in the drawings, you can see here the same view. Okay, pushing the building back an additional 45 feet, still maintaining a 45-foot setback from the property line, but dropping from 5 stories to 4 stories, or 48 feet in height, 7 feet above what currently exists today. So to give you a sense of what this means, this is the rendering that David showed you earlier, with the 5th story as it sits today, and a 90-foot buffer from the property line. This is a view of what the property would look like if we pushed it back 45 feet and reduced it from 5 to 4 stories. Again, these are studies. What we wanted to do is you consider our current proposal, take this into consideration as well as an alternative that we would be happy to consider further as part of sort of the, you know, trying to keep with the spirit of the ongoing dialogue to get to something that we can all, you know, fall in love with.
Sure. And I apologize for being late. I just want to understand what you're talking about there. Your alternative then, just so we're clear, the committee is a 4-story building, but bigger on the boundaries, essentially?
Yeah, so we'd reduce the height to 4 stories in 2 locations.
OK.
okay, on Walnut Street.
Just in two locations, not throughout the property.
Washington Street would still be at 5 stories. Walnut Street and Washington Terrace would be reduced to 4 stories, and we'd push back the building on Washington Terrace 45 feet, maintaining a 4-story height.
And that's your alternative proposal.
Alternative for folks to
that you want, obviously, it's up for us to
that's
decide
correct.
On.
That's a proposal okay. based on some feedback we've heard today.
All right. Go ahead. Sorry. Thank
That's
you
okay.
for the clarification. Just by clarification, go ahead, Councilor Schwartz.
I thought I heard also that there was some activation of the street level. Did you
say oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for bringing that up. I apologize. I missed that. So just to go back, okay, so this is what we currently have proposed, and as you can see here, the way that this works is it's an access point into our parking lot. The revised view shows an additional 4,000 square feet of space that we could program. One of the thoughts is moving the community room down to that location and doubling the size of it from 2 to 4,000 square feet and providing other activating uses. We would still maintain a passageway here, which, you know what I'll do? I'll go back to the site so you can see what that means. So what I just showed you in the design, we'd maintain a passageway here, and the new activating space would be at this corner here, approximately 4,000 square feet. Does that answer your question? Okay. Let me jump back. So, oftentimes, if you hear in development projects, the devil's in the details. And we've been back and forth for a number of months, and thought it would be important just to refresh everyone's memories of what we think the unique community benefits are that this project currently offers. To run through the list, as you heard last time, we've agreed to increase our affordable housing offering from 15 to 25%. The 10%, as you heard, is unique to Newton. There's no protected housing that currently exists for folks between 80 to 120% AMI levels. This would be the first offering of its kind. And we're here today to also tell you that we'd be offering it into perpetuity as well. In addition, what I'd like to tell you, and you've heard this, I think, a little bit earlier from Shauna, the 10,000 square feet of outdoor space that was originally programmed has now almost doubled to 17,000 square feet by increasing sidewalks in the public realm. As you heard from our fiscal consultant at last month's hearing, our net fiscal benefit is over $200,000. We've got a 2,000 square foot community room with dedicated access off a pedestrian crossageway that now connects Walnut Street to the interior of our outdoor public area. We've increased sidewalks by 7 to 10 feet. We've made significant improvements to the traffic and the intersection by reducing crosswalks, upgrading signals, and adding bike lanes. Our project is LEED Silver certifiable. It's now inclusive of 12,000 square feet of green roof and outdoor deck space for our residential tenants. We've agreed to offer both a PPAS subsidy for future tenants, as well as decoupling of our rents and parking costs. We've got ride sharing. We've already have 2 zip cars, and we've applied to have additional zip cars added to the site. We've created dedicated bike parking at the street level for the public and guests of our retail spaces. We've also included a repair service area for the general public. We've got north of 1 bike per residential unit of dedicated bike storage within our property. And also, what we're about to show you is what we hope is quite a significant community benefit that you all be excited about. In an effort to try to escape a last-minute negotiation, what we've tried to do here is put our best foot forward and avoid 11th-hour discussions. One of the areas that we think is a significant eyesore is Washington Terrace. As you know, our property, as I showed you earlier, ends at this line. We have control of this location here. It's a multifamily home with a nail salon on the lower level. What we'd like to propose tonight is taking that space and doing something that we think is very unique with it by making it a public park, or what we're calling a pocket park. We think there's a lot of opportunities here from a programming standpoint. We would be happy to do something more traditional as far as basic landscaping and shooting areas with water features, or push the envelope a little bit and try to get creative. One of the thoughts that we had was perhaps putting a test kitchen in the back of the space where we could work with local chefs on a rotating basis to come in and activate the area. As you can see here, we have general table seating open to the public and try to create games in an environment that's open both daytime and nighttime, really to make that a clean and open space for the community at large.
Is this now part of your proposal? Are you amending your proposal to include that?
Yes.
Do you have formal plans for any of this stuff yet?
No, this is a concept, but if this is something you'd like to talk about, we'll have a full set of plans before the November 1st meeting.
Well, you're coming to us with something brand new that we've never seen before, so I think it's incumbent on you to provide us with what your thinking is, and if you're looking to amend the special permit application to add this, we need to talk about how that gets done.
I don't think that this would be an amendment to the special permit application. I think this would be in the way of some off-site mitigation, as with improvements to the bridge or something else outside.
Is this something you can do as a matter of right?
Sure. The off-site piece?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Why don't you show us what you have?
We will.
One other point of clarification. All those street improvements you talked about on Washington Street and Walnut Street, those are going to be paid for entirely by the petitioner, is that accurate?
Yes.
Everything?
Everything.
Okay. Thank you. Any other clarification? All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. So I'd like to conclude tonight. One of the things that we've heard is that our project is bad for small business and that we're going to be killing small businesses and pushing folks out of the area. You might have seen today, submitted to the City Council was a letter from Joe and Cindy Kerrigan, owners of the Shoe Barn. It's on the public website. I'd encourage everyone to read it. I think it paints a very different picture about what this type of project means for small businesses. So I'd like to read a quick excerpt, before I close. We have served the needs of multiple generations. Children who got their first pairs of shoes at the barn are now buying their children and grandchildren's footwear with us. We want to continue this tradition, but in a way that connects us with today's consumers. That's why we are excited about the potential of Washington Place. By bringing more shoppers and residents to the Washington Street corridor, less than a mile from our original location, we will be exposed to more potential customers while serving our loyal clientele. In today's changing retail climate, it's important for independents to be part of the changing retail landscape. We need a symbiosis with the nationals and regionals so we can coexist in a way that benefits all. We believe Washington Place may be a perfect model for this. Thank you.
Just to conclude very briefly, another housekeeping item. The Planning Department report asked us to please provide renderings from Foster Street and Shadow Study. We've held off only because this design is still evolving. We now think we've reached the end of the line, so we will have those renderings and Shadow Studies Friday, November 1st. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right, that ends your presentation for the evening. As the Vice Chair noted a few minutes ago, we are going to start off this evening by trying to do public comment before I take anything from the Planning Department or any questions or comments from my colleagues. I'm going to start off with any member of the public who has not yet spoken in the public hearing on this petition. Could you show your hand? If you haven't, why don't we start on this side of the room this evening? Well, come on up, and I'll go to the next side. Come on up, please. If you have not spoken, we're going to have plenty of time for public comment, but I want to make sure that we get people who haven't had an opportunity to speak at all. If you could just make room for her to slide through, that'd be great. I know it's a little cumbersome. Again, name, address, I'm going to ask you to stick to approximately 3 minutes, please. We have a lot of people who want to speak. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Sonia Pariska. I am a Newton resident architect, and I live in 185 Franklin Street. I like this project. I think it has improved. Basically, the reason for why I like it is because it has all the elements, physical and operational, that creates a great place, vibrant and attractive for small businesses, for young people, and people who want to downsize after they their kids are gone. These are the elements. It's close proximity to the rail station. It has well-defined public spaces with wooden sidewalks, pedestrian connections, mix of uses in close proximity, retail, shops, residential. I like the pedestrian scale and bikes. It has an active round floor retail with community rooms, cafe retail, and it has reduced and hidden parking. And now I can see that it will increase our housing diversity, much needed in Newton. So I can only see economic development and progress with this project. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next on this side, please. Moving to the third row, second row, anybody? Third row? Come on up, please. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Arlene Gerstenblatt. I'm a small business owner in Newton. Excuse me. And I look forward to some more commercial space.
Can you just give us your address, please, ma'am?
Yes, 233 Needham Street in Newton. I think that any commercial space, any more retail would benefit the small business owners in Newton. From my own experience, people that have come to Newton for other purposes have come into my store. And I think it would be beneficial. I also think that Washington Street would be a lot better and look better than just everybody driving through to get to another destination.
Thank you very much. Come on up, please.
My name is Stephanie DeSantis. I live at 58 Puritan Road in Watertown, Massachusetts. I had been a resident of Newton for 35 plus years, and my grandparents have been a resident of Newtonville for 65 years. I have seen lots of changes, anything from K&K Craft to the lovely donut shop that I worked at. We have seen so many changes in this block already over the years. The Bluebell, my first confirmation was there. These are now not here anymore. These changes have already started to occur for many, many years, and they need to continue. And this opportunity gives people like myself that love this city with all of my heart that I can no longer afford because I have to go to Watertown and other places opposed to my own home because I can no longer afford it. Despite how hard I work, I cannot afford to live here. This project gives me and people like me that love this city, that have been devoted to it. I walk in it. I live in it. I work in it. My family lives here. We want the opportunity to come home. And we love you enough, and we want to be here. Open your arms. Open your hearts. And welcome us back to the place that we want to be more than anybody else. And we ask that this project gives us the opportunity, and that's all we're asking for, is an opportunity to come home and give you our money and give you our love and our support, which we have for a very long time. And I support this project because I bought my first shoes at the barn. I've gone to the bicycle store in West Newton. We are all a community. If we're many villages, but at heart, we're the city of Newton, the Garden City, and this will create another beautiful garden for the city of Newton, and I highly support it.
Thank you. Next, please, come on up. Again, if you have not spoken.
Stephen Silverman, 393 Fuller Street, West Newton. I've lived in Newton for over 20 years. My kids went to Newton North. I've driven by that block many, many times. There's an article written by Andy Levin in the Tab on August 31st, which kind of summarized and kind of got me thinking about this. The building has no eye appeal, and it's also run down from the corner of two busy streets. You have a local developer willing to work with you to make tremendous improvements to the area, and as a legacy project, I think Newton's pretty lucky to have someone willing to go ahead and do that. Usually you see out-of-state, out-of-town developers trying to put projects together that don't really have a vested interest in having it fit into the community and have a great eye appeal. So I'm in tremendous support of this and looking forward to it.
Thank you, sir. Next, please, come on up. Anybody who's not spoken on this side of the room? Anyone who's not spoken on this side of the room? Just come on up, please. Come on up, ma'am. Good evening.
Helen Rittenberg, 497 Chestnut Street. This statement was written by Alicia Bowman and Nathan Phillips, the President and Vice President of Bike Newton, in conjunction with Lois Levin, the founder of Bike Newton, and me, the recent retired President of Bike Newton. We're speaking in support of this project on Washington Street. For many years, we've been working to make biking in and around Newton safe and desirable. We support building housing close to places where people can shop and eat and get to work by foot, bike, and wheelchair. This project is of particular interest because of its location on Washington Street. Last year, Bike Newton began to advocate for the transformation of Washington Street from a high-speed four-lane road to a beautiful, more functional village street, safer pedestrian crossings, street trees, wider sidewalks, vehicle traffic traveling at a safe and steady speed, and protected bike lanes, perhaps the first in Newton. The city has studied this and shown that it would not only be possible, but that it would be an asset to the community in terms of increased safety and comfort. Newtonville near Washington Street would become the most livable area of Newton, with its abundance of stores and restaurants nearby, and easy non-car connections to Boston, Cambridge, Watertown, Waltham. This transformation requires a few things, most especially funding and sufficient people to make the investment worthwhile. This is where projects like Washington Place are critical. They can provide some of the funding and certainly the people to support the infrastructure changes. We're happy to have heard the plans so far from the developers that include ample bike parking, decoupled vehicle parking, and support for a better, more viable Washington Street. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please, come on up. Good evening.
Hello, my name's Alice Bren. I live on the end of Chesley Avenue, right next to the Chinese church. My husband's family has lived there for three generations, and it's a beautiful old Victorian. So I am ambivalent about this because I think the whole block does need refreshing and that the developer has paid a significant amount of money for it. But I oppose the developer's proposal to rezone his property to allow this monolithic massive building, which would set a dangerous precedent. And it's the precedent I'm here to speak about, more or less, for the development of a similarly massive-sized area on my side of the street, because there are, from my kitchen window, conservatively 100 apartments. There's on Rala Terrace, like apartments. There's 42 apartments on the north side of Walnut Street. There's apartments there, plus there's the 38 or whatever coming on Cliff Street that are condos. So from my standpoint, we're already incorporating and living with apartments and businesses. And those small businesses in, say, the Bram Block and the Bram Way and Bram Building, do service small businesses right now. That's not saying I don't think that the block needs refreshing, but from the standpoint of this massive building, I think that this is really spot and zoning that we're talking about to make it an M4 and that it can work with the current zoning. I'm an abutter, and I'm down as an abutter, Alice, then, of the proposed development, and I'm not opposed to development. So I guess what I'm saying is, because I'm currently living with all these different units in the neighborhood, we should, like in Newton, wait a little while. What is the rush here? So
Moving north took 12 years, my kids were in kindergarten, and they graduated before it was built, so I don't see any rush. And anyway, I live so close and next to all of these commercial businesses that I think the current proposal would actually have a negative effect on the neighbors on the north side of Walnut Street. They would cast shadows on the street. I walk to work, I cross that bridge. I think the idea of turning that into two lanes is crazy. If anyone walks down that bridge every day, you see what goes on here. I just can't imagine that happening to put extra flower pots or whatever looking down on the highway. So the city should take a more holistic approach is where I'm coming from on this. Plan appropriately for block development and set a precedent for the future so it's not like taking down eight buildings that house Boston Ballet. And I know some of the businesses there are very happy to hear that there's going to be a new building for their business, and I might be happy with them, but I don't want to see it that massive. I want to see more trees. I want to see more interest in artistry. And so anyway, please deny the rezoning and the special permit because I think we should work with the current zoning. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please come on up. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is David Bergdorf from Newton, Children Road. I've lived in Newton most of my life. My grandparents lived in Newton. I love this city. This is the city that built the most beautiful library in the country, the most beautiful high school in the country. This is a forward-thinking city. I drive for the last 30 years on Granite Street. I see some great businesses, great local people making a difference in Newton, small business people. I come over the bridge and I see the Orr building, which was there when I was in preschool and Harry Truman was president. It's been there a long time. I think it's time. I think it's over. This is a great project. This is a beautiful project. This is a gateway project. People will see this project on Mass Pike. They'll see it on Washington Street. I remember visiting my friend Dana Fleischer, who has an office, Best Techs, a couple of years ago, upstairs. I've never been in a building before. I couldn't believe it was still standing. I told him the next time I go up there, I want a tetanus shot. This developer has impressed me very much, especially because of the affordable housing that he's thought of. He's a serious developer. And I'm sure that he'll make this building as good as it looks, and I hope this project passes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please, come on up. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Margaret Ward, and I live at 957 Washington Street. Zoning is a contract between a local government and its taxpayers. It's not something to be taken lightly. It exists so that when people are looking to buy a home in a city, which for the most part is the biggest investment of their lifetime, there are assurances. They can look to current zoning and have reasonable expectation of what an area will look like in a city 10, 20, 30 years from now. Now, there are times when you have to break zoning, but if this breach in contract is going to happen, it should be very seldom. This should be a compelling reason for any consideration to rezone, and it should be for the benefit of the community, like, for example, to build a hospital. Now, padding the pockets of developers is not a legitimate reason to rezone. When we look at this particular rezoning request for the Orr Block, is there a compelling need? Does it meet that criteria? And what about benefits? Well, we know that the developer benefits from this, and we know that the mayor benefits from this. But does the community at large benefit from this new rezone? Do they? I don't think so. I have a full-time job. I don't have time to be going to these meetings and fighting massive development. And I shouldn't have to. We property owners rely on you to look out for our best interests. You are our last line of defense in protecting the investment we made in this city. Zoning is a contract. I have been living in Newtonville since 1991. After renting for 22 years, I finally took the plunge and I bought property. That was 3 years ago. When I bought my condo, I bought into a village, not an urban center, a village. And I expect the landscape to remain as such. Are you going to protect my investment? Are you going to uphold our contract for all of us property owners in Newtonville and beyond? I hope so. I really hope so. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please, if you have not spoken, anyone who has not spoken previously. All right. For folks who have spoken previously, I'm sorry, John. Come on up, please.
Thank you. Excuse me, John Coates. I live at 430 Winchester Street in Newton Highlands. So the speaker mentioned that the new proposed building would be visible from the pike. I think there's a good chance it would be visible from Boston. I'm speaking in opposition to the petition to rezone in particular. Over a period of time, Mr. Court has brought up a whole group of contiguous properties, spending somewhere between $20 and $30 million in the process, knowing full well that they were all zoned Business 1 and Business 2, a designation that carries clearly defined constraints on what can be built. He obviously bought these knowing that he would be able to make a profit from it. I and many other residences would be very distressed to learn that anyone in the city had given Mr. Korsh the impression that it was a sure thing that his purchase would be upzoned to mixed-use 4, which would allow him to greatly increase the density of what's built and thus his profit. While it's true that 25% of the units are promised to be affordable, it's important to acknowledge the corollary that 75% of the units will be market rate. As we heard right here in this chamber several weeks ago from a woman with long experience in the rental market, people are pricing out of the Avalons. I doubt that the market rate for apartments here in Newtonville will be substantially different than it is at the Avalons or Arbor Point. If people are pricing out of those places, will they not do likewise here? One more point. Most members of the committee are longtime Newton residents, as are most people here tonight. We all know that with the exception of the Chestnut Hill Towers and several other nearby apartment buildings, Newton is not a high-rise city. The latest planning department memo says that best practices recommend locating multi-story buildings at the front of the property. With all due respect, I say that's hogwash, unless you're talking about downtown Boston or Manhattan. Three stories is the general rule in our village centers, and no church steeples and the tower of the Masonic building don't constitute precedence for putting up 5 or 6 story buildings or anything else. Therefore, I urge you not to approve the zoning change to mixed-use 4. Let Mr. Korsh build what he can under present zoning. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. Anybody else? Come on up. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Amanda Annis. I live at 401 Albemarle Road in Newtonville, and I actually grew up in Newtonville. And then we bought a little house in the Albemarle neighborhood and raised two boys there. The project, in my opinion, is too massive. I don't think that they're going to be changed. Three stories would fit with the neighborhood. And just judging, I take the commuter every day from that spot. There's a lot of traffic. Also, in the presentation, it wasn't clear. You said that intersection, you're going to narrow. I mean, I'm all for pedestrian safety, making it more comfortable to cross there. That we're going to narrow the road to 2 lanes, you know, 1 lane in each direction. I don't know how that would work with the massive amount of traffic in the morning. So, you know, creative ideas about how to make it safer to cross, but thinking about the traffic implications, traffic calming measures. I ride a bike too, so mostly recreationally, but I avoid Washington Street like the plague because it's just the cars go too fast and there's no bike lanes. So I'm all for the bike lanes. But I didn't really see them incorporated into the Washington Street area. I'd like to see that. So the project, the noise information is just too big, and I worry about the traffic congestion and all the cars coming and going.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please, come on up. If you have not, anybody who has not spoken previously wants to be heard. But I know I have, sir, have you spoken previously?
No.
Come on up, please. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Paul Toronto. I'm the owner of Cook at 825 Washington Street in Newtonville. And I'm for the project. I think it's going to shed some light in a very dark area of Newton and make it more of a real village center. I think it's good for business. I think it's, you know, it's going to draw a lot more people to that area where, you know, I've been there 3 years and I see it as more of a pass-through area. And I strongly support it. I think it's great, and it's the next evolution of that area, and it looks like what needs to happen. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you very much, sir. Anybody else who's not spoken previously at a meeting before? All right. I know I promised time. Not spoken before? Come on up. Well, I appreciate the clarification. If you've spoken about this project before, I'm going to ask you to defer to your neighbor and let them go first. Good evening.
Hi, I'm Lois Levin. I live at 497 Chestnut Street in Wavin. Land use and development are profoundly intertwined with environmental issues. I'm speaking for Green Newton tonight, which I'm on the board and on the advisory committee. Green Newton supports smart growth, which encourages new development in walkable places served by public transportation, where there's compact housing and energy efficient units requiring fewer cars per household. Washington Place is located near public transportation and a village center, where residents' daily needs can be met by walking to shops and restaurants, where public transportation can be utilized for commuting, shopping, etc. We add benefit from saving environmental resources and from less pollution when there are increased options for walking, biking, and shared vehicular transportation and public transportation. These environmental benefits have long been apparent in Newton villages located on the Green Line, such as Newton Highlands. The community rail does not operate as frequently as the Green Line, but it has similar potential. Green Newton strongly supports the Green Newton housing strategy. The main principle of that strategy is, quote, to pursue green design, unquote. Washington Place is pursuing smart growth, and the building is being designed at a LEED Silver level. It will have a green roof, and a quarter of the roof space will consist of a planting medium that will absorb and treat rainwater. Renewable energy approaches are being developed as we speak in our country and in the world. At this point in time, we would recommend the installation of solar panels to make the project more energy sustainable, but there may be other options. The developer feels sufficiently committed to transportation improvements in Newtonville to have hired a sophisticated civil and environmental engineer as his vice president of development. Sidewalks will be widened significantly, as you've heard, throughout Washington Place 6th streetscape, allowing for seasons, green vegetation, and non-invasive tree species, and pedestrians will be encouraged to mingle in common space. Bike lanes will be installed on Walnut Street from Newtonville Ave to Foster Street, and the city will eventually expand that northward, consistent with the Newton Bicycle Network Plan, which I take some responsibility for having created. There will be a repair station for bicycles for the general public, covered bicycle parking at street level, and 180 parking spaces for bikes in the underground garage. Strongly supporting alternatives to vehicular travel. Washington Place has committed to subsidizing MBTA passes for tenants, is encouraging the team to improve the Newtonville commuter rail stop, and is incorporating design changes to the Walnut Washington Street intersection that will vastly improve safety and access to transit for pedestrians. It is committed to providing true zip cars on location and is prepared to do more when the demand wants. These are all excellent reasons to welcome this project, which will enhance the livability and diversity of the Newtonville community and be central to helping those working to create complete streets, which is a mandate we have in the city, and revitalize Washington and Walnut Streets as a focal point north of the Mass Pike. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please. This is not spoken at a meeting on this subject matter. Come on up, please.
Good evening. I have not spoken.
Good evening.
My name is Bob Jampler, 17 Upland Road in Wabun. And I want to be a little more cautious because I'm nervous about projects like this. I just think that if you imagine that the people who live there are going to solely be taking that commuter line and or even the buses into town, I think you're kidding yourselves. A lot of the people who are going to move here are going to be working along the 128 or 495 belt. They need cars. And I don't know about you, but when I drive around Newton these days, I have to be very careful in planning when I go. For example, I foolishly decided at 5:45 today to order some pizza from Sweet Tomatoes. It took me almost a half hour to get from Wabun down Beacon Street. The traffic was backed up all the way from Walnut to the school. And it's the same on Washington Street. I'm also bike lanes. I consider myself a member of Bike Newton, but I don't see why that has to be tied into a project like this. I think any decision you make, you have to really think, how many more people with cars are going to be moving into this town? It's crazy right now. I just want you to think about that as you weigh this decision. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please come on up. Good evening.
Good evening. Hi, my name is David Lank. I'm a third-generation Newtonite. Both sides of my family have been here. Currently, 95 Countryside Road is where we reside, and several other members of my family. Just wanted to come and speak in support of the project. Growing up in Newton, wanted to just say I see the underutilization of land and real estate across the city. I see other cities growing vibrantly, competitive cities, transit-oriented, environmentally sustainable, things that meet demand. Whether it's bike lanes, and just in direct response to what we just heard, I think the more we hinder developments like this, the more we're going to see problems like traffic increase when we have things that are, you know, increasing things like bicycle use or transit-oriented development. It's going to continue to expound upon the transition and the demands of society, whereas if we remain kind of with the underutilization of real estate as it currently exists, it's going to, you know, continue to cause more and more traffic problems. I think this is a very well-considered and well-thought-out plan. I think that it's a very experienced developer who has a great track record, and I think that Newton would get this to be a terrific asset to the social capital of Newton in addition to the economic capital. It'll be great for development, for businesses, and for the employment base here in the city. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. Anyone? All right. I know I had at least three groups of people who'd indicated they wanted to speak on behalf of more than one person and to speak for a number of people, and I'd already agreed they could have extra time beyond our customary 3 or 4 minutes. But before I get to them, is there any other individual who wants to speak this evening? If you've spoken before in this project, want to speak again, can I have a show of hands? One. All right. Why don't we start on this side of the room, we'll go back, we'll take that side of the room, and then we'll get to the group presentations, okay? And I realize that whatever order I do this in is not going to be perfect. We'll just try to do our best here. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Kathleen Carell Grazer, and unlike most of the people who have spoken in support of this project, I live in Newtonville. 258 Mill Street. I appreciate the efforts of the petitioner to address the design preferences expressed by some in the chamber, but I believe Newtonville residents care most about the design elements of height and density. Tweaking the proposal's facades and skimming a little bit part of the fifth story off of part of the buildings and pushing it out another way, it's really putting the cart before the horse. This proposed development is too high and too massive. I was intrigued by Mr. Serrano of Cook speaking and the people who are on the soup barn speaking, because I'm wondering if how they'll feel when Mr. Corf buys the building that their businesses are in and their rents go up or they're displaced, or perhaps they're in on the development. But the idea that that this development is going to uniquely help their businesses, I think, is idealistic. The petitioner is a very experienced property speculator. He would not have purchased these properties if he couldn't make money off of them with buy-right development. And I'm confident that you understand your responsibility to protect your constituents from unwanted overdevelopment, failure to achieve a 100% SHI contribution, and profoundly negative fiscal traffic and gentrification effects. I notice the petitioner states that his design is inspired by the heights of historic commercial buildings in Newtonville Center, and the buildings he plans to demolish are the historic commercial buildings he's referring to. He can build to a similar height by right. I know you are all thoughtful people, so I trust you won't be willing to impose the current proposal's enormous height, density, and externalities on our village against our wishes. For what in return? A traffic light? A bike lane? Decorations on the bridge over the pike? A private park developed by right that he would own that could later be developed that you would have no control over? I think that we would rather have less height and density. We would rather have by right. Despite the rhetoric of the mayor and the planning department, there is no mandate for putting massive luxury apartment buildings in our village centers or all over our city. Every time a high-density development is proposed in any part of Newton, it's met with opposition. Every time. No one wants these things except for the developers and a few zealots who preach about affordable housing from the comfort of their mansions. There's no justification for a zoning change. The existing buildings as currently business zoned include naturally affordable commercial and residential units. They are naturally mixed use. They are vibrant and contain beloved local businesses and working families, all to be displaced. If the petitioner wants to gentrify our village and create much more expensive commercial space and market rate units that few existing Newtonville tenants could afford, he's free to do so by right. I trust that you know that you're not obliged to add to his fortune by gifting him a zoning change. How could you give a gift worth millions of dollars to a very wealthy man and turn your back on your constituents, regular people struggling to get by in Newtonville? You couldn't. You wouldn't do that to us. You wouldn't do it again. There's a very last lesson. There's a very famous property speculator who comes to mind. If Donald Trump bought up the north side of Washington Street, evicted all the small businesses and families, demolished the historic buildings, and demanded an MU4 zoning change and a special permit, all to build something huge, you would all be up in arms. You pass a resolution condemning him. If it's not all right for the Donald, why is it all right for any developer? Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please, on this side of the room first. Any individual wishes to speak? Seeing none, anybody on this side of the room wishes to come on up, please. We'll start with the back. We'll move up this time. Get advantages for sitting in the rear. Come on up, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Robert Smith. I live at 40 Foster Street. I'm one of the abutters who filed a petition objecting to this development, and I just want to make a couple points. The first is that we've been very disappointed, those who live in the immediate area, that the planning department and the discussions that have occurred have not considered the effect that this has on the neighbors immediately adjoining. This is a historic district, as approved by members of the city council. That has never been mentioned, or the effect or impact on the historic district has never been considered. We are submitting a letter to the city councilors clarifying 3 points, because there's been some criticism of the abutters for having filed this petition objecting. The first is, we are not opposed to development of this area. We recognize that as a matter of right, a building with the same qualities and same benefits as being proposed can be built. Our objection is to the height and the density. We think it's out of character for the village. We think it's inappropriate to immediately abut the historic district. Secondly, we are very supportive of affordable housing. We are disappointed so much naturally affordable housing is being displaced, but we appreciate the fact that there would be an increase in affordable housing. The third point is the precedent point. A couple comments tonight have said this is the future of Newton. This is the gateway. I think the City Council needs to recognize that approving a five-story building in this location is setting a precedent. We have to imagine, and we know that developers are watching this. We know that the immediate blocks along Washington Street, people are refusing to enter into long-term leases because they anticipate the possibility of their properties coming up for sale. The Village Center in Newtonville, going both directions in Washington Street, can easily be developed with three-story buildings, again, adding to affordable housing. But to say five stories, yes, here, establishes a precedent that I think is dangerous for Newtonville. I think it'll be West Newton and Washington Street corridor, and then also in Newton Corner. So we're asking to support some of the innovative and creative ideas that this developer has presented, but keep it within the existing zoning, and we're confident that there'll be other building in the area to achieve a lot of the benefits that are being proposed here. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. Come on up. Good evening.
Good evening. Hi. My name is Denise. I live at 1197 Boylston Street in Boston. I spoke last time I mentioned I got priced out of Newton and moved to Boston a couple of years ago. And I actually really love this design for one reason, many, but one of them I wanted to talk about right now is that I live in Fenway right now, and it's a neighborhood that went through an incredible transformation. And I would really recommend any of you guys to just go out and see what Fenway looks like right now. Right behind that park, that whole area is completely transformed for what it used to be about even just 3 years ago. And something I love now and I've noticed in just the past year or so is that people really come outside and sit and use that public space and have the ability to use these shops under a lot of the apartment buildings that have come up. And it's really nice to just come and, you know, you don't need to have a car, you can just walk down, you have your grocery stores, your restaurants, shopping, and local businesses are still there, there's these small restaurants, and it's just a really great place, and it starts building a new sense of community, and as I said, I've been a resident in Newton for about 20 years, and I would love to move back into something that would reflect a community that I would like to live in. So with that, I just want to say thanks for listening, and I really think this is the type of development that's going to bring you in to the type of community that we want to keep seeing in the state. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Come on up, please. Good evening.
My name is Roy Oleski. I live at 124 Dickerman Road, Newton Highlands. I have an office that's and I've been there for 31 years. I've been in an office for the past 10 years in the building that is currently going to be replaced. So, first of all, I appreciate the compromises, but I guess the summary is, I think it's the right building in the wrong city. I decided to do a little research today. I hadn't planned to be in town this week, so it's last minute. But in looking, I understand that it's 2.85 acres. And when I tried to get my head around that is the size of 2.5 football fields. So if someone said to you, would you, can we take these 2.5 football fields and build this enormous building? Not all of it will be concrete. There'll be some area. Would you agree it belongs in Newton? 5 stories high? Sorry, I don't think so. Maybe, I think we're moving. I think that there is, and then I also looked at how many more students will be going to school here, because if you look at www.newton.k12.na.us, it's public information, all these large developments that have been put up, if you have 100 units, you will have about 34 students added to the public school system. Additionally, there will be private schools. So at 171 units, that means 57 more students in the public schools. Not counting what's going to be going up on Austin Street, I think it's too much. Also, if you go to 246 Walnut Street, which is over the crossing the Pike, that building was replaced, not too recently, but its character is red brick. It's 3 stories high. You know, it's a negotiating tactic. You start at 5 stories, you might get 4. But I'm personally not looking for 4. 2 or 3 is what fits in, which is what most of the other developers did. When you consider the enormous size, and then you're going to go 4 stories, there's no place here. Also, yes, it will bring business to some people. It will kill the business for others. There are a lot of people that I know, neighbors of mine, who are able to afford the rent in those buildings. They don't know where they're going. I also feel, according to the TAB, the TAB didn't say this is some local guy developing. The TAB says this is backed by all this New Jersey investment money. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying what the TAB said. So I just want correct representation. Also, in conclusion, Newton has a certain kind of character. We are the 4th most educated city in the U.S. That means per capita in terms of degrees, graduate degrees, and intellect. There's a certain charm and character that Newton is famous for. It shows in the buildings. I haven't yet seen it in this building. I don't want to become another Somerville, although I like Somerville, but I moved from Cambridge to Newton. So I'm asking for some reconsideration on the size of the building. I'm willing to compromise, but I think that 3 stories would be appropriate.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. Anybody else, individual, who wishes to speak? Come on up, please. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gerard Slattery, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my father, Patrick Slattery, who owns 227 and 221 Walnut Street in Newton. I've spoken before with a group of neighbors for a better Newtonville, and I'd just like to speak again to address both yourself and all the counselors of this committee to let you know that we personally, and I think a lot of us in Newtonville, are still very opposed to this project that's come forward. Now, a lot of new information has been presented tonight, and I do need some time to go over it, digest it, and figure it out. But I feel that a lot of what's been presented tonight already is, it feels a little bit of a shell game. I mean, in terms of, you know, the reductions that are being made, because prior to this, we were told pretty much repeatedly, you know, no reductions could be made. This is what we have to do to make this project profitable. And each time the petitioner has come forward, there's been more things where they've a little bit here, a little bit there, and it seems like they'll still be able to make a profit. In fact, I'm pretty confident that the petitioner is a good businessman and could make a profit under the current zoning that's allowed there. So, you know, that's my take. I think he's a good businessman that knows what he's doing. And I resent the characterization that's been made repeatedly by people that oppose this project, saying that we are opposed to local business. We are a local business. That we oppose affordable housing. That we stand in the way of progress. I think what some other people have said is what I'd like to say again, is that this is a matter of once we've done this, it's done. So it's the contract and it's the character of the city. For most people, it's the largest investment they're ever going to make. It's one of the most important investments they're ever going to make in terms of where their children are going to be raised and where they're going to be educated. And once individuals have bought a home in Newton, they've pretty much cast the die. Now, in terms of some of the other things that the petitioner has brought up is, you know, he brings it up on both sides. In terms of the parking, there's not enough parking right now. I believe there's a waiver for the amount of parking, for the amount of housing that's going to be there, and the amount of retail that's there. So this is it's a Malthusian dilemma that's being introduced with this. If he needs a waiver for parking, he doesn't have enough for the housing that's there, and he's not going to have enough for all the businesses that are there. And the problem that building on the ore block has ran into was ultimately not having enough parking for the businesses that were there. So in Newton, I mean, because it's not Fenway, it's not Boston, it's not... The T right now is a grand idea, but the T is a fantasy for right now in terms of people being able to just hop on the commuter rail and be able to, bam, you know, go wherever they want to go. It's, maybe someday it will be, but for the foreseeable future, it's not reality. It's a fantasy at this point. It would take probably decades to get it to where it needs to be. So right now, for the project to work, it's car-dependent. I'll finish up quickly, sir. And it's in terms of affordable housing, like many people have already said, there was to get a couple of units of affordable housing as opposed to more than the 20-some-odd units of naturally occurring affordable housing is there. If that's the deal that we have to make, that is truly a Faustian bargain and it's truly Stygian to turn around and say, we will never get there if the only way that we can get affordable housing in this city is to take naturally affordable housing and destroy it and build a luxury development, we'll never get there. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Any other individual wish to speak this evening? All right, I have three groups I have on my list. Is former counselor, former Alderman Johnson present? I had records say she was going to speak. And Ms. Havens, good evening. I don't know which one of you is going first, but I promised you some time. Good evening.
We're actually going to go together. I'm Candace Havens, Honeywell Avenue, Newton Corner. Oh, thank you. And former Director of Planning and Development for the City of Newton. And I'm Marcia Johnson, 33-year resident of Newtonville, 39 Dumas Street, and many years on what's now the City Council, and chair of the Zoning and Planning Committee for 6 years. So, during the several months in which the Washington Heights project has been in front of the Land Use Committee, it's become clear that the focal point of the discussion has been on the appropriateness of the site for a project in a mixed-use 4 zoning district. Therefore, Candace and I wanted to provide the council and the public with background details relative to the establishment of the mixed-use 4 zoning district that we then think will be helpful to you in your deliberations, particularly with the regards to the importance of the zoning for this site. So just to do a quick step back into the history, many changes have occurred in Newton over the years, as you know. The formative years began simply with stops on the train line, which then soon became surrounded with villages where people could live, work, and shop. And as you see in the top photo, that some of those buildings were actually rather grand. Years later, the land in between was filled with suburban neighborhoods and other uses. Then, greater reliance on the car also brought some additional changes. Parking lots and driveways that interrupted streetscapes, and people started shopping in other places because they could. The cars would take them there, and you've heard some things about that this evening. It ultimately changed some of the vitality in the village. Zoning regulations actually came a little late to the game, and more or less documented what had occurred organically, which isn't altogether bad, but there was a little bit less focus on planning for the future, often an emphasis on separating uses and aggregating similar ones. So today we have substantially more sophisticated guidance. The 2007 Comprehensive Plan and the Mixed-Use Centers element that was adopted in 2012 provide a vision and a planning focus that guide us with a more intentional means of shaping the future of Newton that we want.
based on current demographics and best practices in planning, they not only allow for, but plan for a mix of compatible and complementary uses to coexist. So people have the option to live more like people used to, above or within walking distance of the amenities they need for daily life, which also has the side benefits of reducing traffic and pollution by getting people to be less reliant on cars, and which makes for a healthy community. The comprehensive plan also calls for flexible, moderate growth. And what that means, it's not one extreme or the other. It's neither a no growth nor a rapid urban growth scenario, but it's intended to be adaptive to changing trends and needs of the population. Also respectful of the residential quality of life so valued in Newton, and also supportive of commercial uses while avoiding adverse impacts. So the NE4 zone was originally inspired by the potential for development on the Austin Street parking lot and utilized the knowledge acquired from the study of mixed-use centers, including lessons learned from Newton's historic past. From May to October 2012, the Zoning Planning Committee thoroughly and thoughtfully reviewed the unique design details embedded in the mixed-use for zoning text and crafted a zone that could be used on appropriate sites in our larger village centers, and Newtonville is one of them. So the intentions of the NE4 area are clearly stated in the zoning regulations. These are also listed in your staff report, and I'm sure you're becoming very familiar with them. But they probably bear repeating that they're intended to allow development of buildings and uses appropriate to Newton's village commercial centers in keeping with the vision of the comprehensive plan. Encourage compact, pedestrian-oriented villages with a mix of uses that are complementary and serve community needs. Allow enough density and intensity of uses to promote an active streetscape that supports local businesses and local transit. Expand housing options. Promote health and well-being of residents by encouraging walking, use of alternative modes of transportation, and create a sense of place and community, which is quite a list. So, how do we do these things? When crafting a village central zone, the planning department reviewed the features of business zones, which also allows both commercial and residential uses in buildings that range in height from 2 to 8 stories. Given the additional housing and then the other benefits that are being sought, 2 stories would not be sufficient, but 8 stories was considered inappropriate for a village. So it was agreed after much discussion a 5-story maximum by special permit for increased housing and meet the other requirements of the zone would be suitable in some locations in our larger village commercial centers. Noting that the final determinations as to where the zone could be placed would be at the will of the council. The final text of the mixed-use floor zone translates its purposes into regulations to create an interactive mixed-use setting in a way that no other zones do. It incentivizes housing by allowing for additional building height if more housing is added. The step-back upper stories to let in light and reduce the perceived mass of the building. It requires windows with changing displays and frequent entries that are inviting. It encourages wider sidewalks comfortably enclosed by building facades, commercial spaces similar in size to those found elsewhere in our villages, and beneficial open space. But the devil's in the details, and there can be many ways to accomplish the purposes of the mixed-use floor zone. So some flexibility is also built in to allow the council to grant exceptions and approve special permits for those features that make sense in a given situation or a given location, since not every site or situation is the same. So thus far, the design of the project has provided many of the things others have already mentioned, you know, sidewalks that are really usable and going beyond what's shown in this drawing. We've seen some really improved roadway improvements this evening, shown to mark to really improve flow and safety of bicycle, pedestrian, and vehicular traffic, alternative to the single-family residential living that makes up most of our housing stock and aims to address a growing and well-documented need, and enough density in combination of the features to actually create an environment that will be attractive for residents and businesses and customers alike. So before I turn this over to Marcy for some comments, I just do want to circle back just quickly to the location of this particular project. You can see on the Newtonville Area Council's map that this site is in the heart of the village at the intersection of Walnut and Washington Streets. These two major north-south and east-west roadways is the prime location for anchoring the village on the north side.
It has the capacity to function well under this new zoning and will bring us to fruition the desired outcomes that I've mentioned. And as a village that had been divided by the Mass Pike, it's really hard to imagine a better place to inject new life and vitality and to literally bridge the gap.
Thank you.
Thank you, Candace, for sharing the background and details regarding this district. So now I want to take a moment to review how the district was established from a Board of Aldermen perspective, as several of the current councilors were not on the board at that time. Through the Austin Street Joint Advisory Planning process and through multiple meetings of the Zoning and Planning Committee, we thoughtfully went through the details that would make this district applicable to multiple village commercial centers and not just Austin Street. I want to acknowledge Councillor, then Alderman Baker, who really took a leadership role as we considered this zone to make sure that it is something that could be used in more than one location within the city. Then on September 24th, 2012, the NU4 district was approved 8 in favor. So 8 members of the Zoning and Planning Committee with none opposed. Then on October 1st, the board passed this district 23 in favor, none opposed, with one councillor or alderman then absent, and that was Alderman Gentile. Given the overwhelming support for this district, which was a design for village commercial centers, I ask that this honorable council respect and carry through what your former colleagues and many of you who are in this council chamber tonight agree to move this zoning district forward. It is our hope that the future Newtonville Village Days will embrace all of Newtonville to include both sides of Washington Street with a new, lively development. There will be lots to celebrate. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is Mr. Arnstein here in the audience? Or someone from his group back there? Who's ever coming up from that group, I've given them some time. Or Mr. Arnstein or Mr. Harrington, is he in? I see Mr. Harrington. Come on up. I know there's one, some members of that group had asked for some time. So if you would, please. Okay. Again, for those of you who aren't familiar, we're trying something a little bit new. There are groups who've asked for extended periods of time. We're trying this out on this project. We'll report back after we do all our deliberations on this project to see how well, or perhaps not so well, it's worked, but we're trying to be creative and constantly looking for better ways we can get public comment and public feedback. At the same time, trying to balance the need to get information from the developer, hear from our planning department, and of course allow us to deliberate in a thoughtful fashion, all the while trying to finish by about 10 o'clock in the evening so everyone can go home at a reasonable hour. We're trying, folks. Mr. Harrington, are you set? Good evening.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. I'm just introducing this. Made this feel better. Newtonville, thank you for the block of time. We have 3 speakers, and the first one is Susan Reisler. Nadia, which button is... Uh-oh.
There we go.
Is it the right one? It's not working.
Okay.
If you would, as you get up to speak, please just your name and address. For the record, go ahead, please.
Hello, my name is Susan Reisler, and I live at 11 Clapham Place in Newtonville. At the Land Use Committee meeting several weeks ago, we heard 12 people urge you to vote yes on rezoning the Orblock development. Tonight, I speak on behalf of more than 2,600 Newton residents, that's about 4% of the adult population, who signed a petition urging you to vote no on rezoning. The petition sponsored by Neighbors for a Better Newtonville reads, quote, "The height, mass, and design of the proposed development are inconsistent with the scale and style of our village." In other words, it's too big. Of the more than 2,600 unique signatures, only 357 came from the online website. The remaining nearly 2,300 were a result of face-to-face interactions with Newton residents. It's amazing. I myself did a lot of petitioning, along with a small group of volunteers over about 2.5 months, from mid-May to June, not much during the very hot summer, and then again in September. You might have seen us at the library, at Star Market, at Albemarle Field, at baseball games and soccer games, the Newtonville Post Office, the Cabot Fair, village fairs in Nonantum, Newton Highlands, and Newtonville, the Italian Festival, the Memorial Day Parade, and the July 4th fireworks. So, who are these petition signers? Actually, they represent a wide swath of Newton residents. They're young workers and retired people. There were families and singles, grandmothers with their granddaughters, and young mothers with their babies. There were many non-native English speakers, homeowners as well as renters, every race, color, and creed, and from a wide variety of professions. But mostly, they are voters. In fact, we have about 4% of the registered voters in Newtonville, in Newton, who signed our petition. They live all over Newton. As the slide shows, Newtonville provided the lion's share of signatures, as did the rest of the north side, West Newton, Nonantum, Auburndale, Newton Corner. But other villages had many signers too, especially Newton Center and Wabin. But also, Chestnut Hill, Newton Highlands provided many signatures as well. When we finish collecting signatures, you will receive a full accounting of the breakdown of signers. Now, signers dislike this project for a variety of reasons. They mourn the loss of local businesses. They dread the prospect of increased traffic and parking problems. They object to Newtonville being turned from a village into an urban area without many of the benefits of urban life. They think the buildings are ugly. But most of all, they dislike this project because of its size and mass. One woman who is a planner, who's been very involved in planning in Newton, she was a strong advocate of Austin Street, is a strong opponent of the Orbach development. She signed the petition and scribbled a comment on the paper saying, "This development does not fit into the Newtonville context." Another Newtonville resident wrote an online comment, I think, that encapsulates many of the objections that residents have, and it's on the screen. "I believe this project is way out of scale for this site and that it will create detrimental and long-lasting traffic and parking problems and that it will change the character of Newtonville for the worse. I am basically pro-development, by the way, but this project is simply too large for this site. Also, and this point is key, there is no way this project should proceed until we see the effects of development at the Austin Street site. The city council exists to protect current residents and business, not to ensure returns on investment for private developers. I applaud the desire to develop the site, and I would like to see it developed, but this project is simply too much, too large, and too soon after Austin Street." Let me close by saying that the NBN has developed a database of signers, and we will be staying in touch with those who left us their contact information. We will be informing them of what you, the City Council, say and how you vote. To quote Councillor Schwartz in Newton's voice, quote, "You are the go-betweens," meaning the City Council, "the go-betweens between the residents of Newton and the executive government. Please take into consideration the judgment of these 2,600 residents and reject the request for rezoning." Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Arnstein, who's next?
We have Mr. Adelphi.
Good evening, sir. Your name and address, please?
Yeah. My name is Adele Foz. I've lived at 16 Page Road in Newtonville for 43 years. I could have come here tonight on the bus if I timed it right. I could not go home on the bus. And I regret to say that the transit-oriented development is a very aspirational thing. It's a wonderful idea. But the reality is, if you have a kid, two bags of groceries and a load of laundry, it's awfully tough to either wait for the bus or to walk. So there are going to be cars being used for everyday purposes. So generally, I have a background in transportation planning. The general definition and practical definition of transit-oriented development is that you can walk out your door and not worry about the timing of the bus and the train. And that works out in practice to 10 to 15 minutes. You just go, and you know you'll get wherever you want to go. I looked at the schedules around here. There's one instance during a weekday where two buses are 25 minutes apart. That is the only time during a weekday where the gap is less than 40 minutes. So transit-oriented is a wonderful idea, but if you think that in the next 5 years is going to suddenly quadruple the frequency of service, I don't believe it. You might, I don't. I wanted to, with that introduction, I wanted to tell you why I think the current traffic study is inadequate. In a nearly 40-year career of managing environmental impact statements with traffic, both at the very large highway scale and lots of neighborhood scale studies like this one, I have never seen a consultant report say no usable data for an intersection. Either they went back and got more data, or this report was not acceptable. In addition, there's a couple. Why don't we have the next slide? Thanks. Yeah. What traffic engineers do is great. I assume everybody knows, but I'll repeat it in case someone doesn't. How traffic is rated. It's like grades in school. A is great, F is terrible. You're flunking. Generally speaking, D is considered acceptable. You wait for a while, but you get through the intersection. E is beginning to be a problem, particularly for air quality, which affects everybody on the street. And F, you have to wait 2 minutes or more, and there is no question that there is an air quality problem in addition to everybody's temperature frame. Next slide. Okay. I mentioned the no usable data, and in fact, when we look at the detail of what was provided, the places where they have no usable data are level of service F. You need to study more than to formalize intersections. This is not just Lowell and Walnut and Washington. There's Lowell and Washington, and then there's Cabot and Washington, and there's Route 16, Watertown Street, and Walnut. On one day of data is not enough for this kind of thing. So shall we have the next slide? Yeah. Well, one of the striking things about this from a transportation perspective is that middle line there is Walnut Street. It's the only north-south connection between West Newton and Newton Corner. And it is heavily used all the time. The road block is right there, Washington Street. So you have to consider that anything that happens at Walnut and Lowell and Washington impacts the whole city, particularly the north-south movement. And when you remember that the state has said once the turnpike budgets move forward, it's going to add about 5% to the traffic on Washington Street,
It is not a local impact business. You have to look in one intersection. This is simply more in detail with the red blocks highlighted in yellow. The points. Next slide. Now, it turns out that Google Maps, which we all use to find out what the traffic is like, live traffic, also has a feature which was highlighted down there on the bottom called typical traffic. And what it is, as you can see, there's a scale on the left of the bottom box. It's the day of the week, and you can change the time over on the right. And you can see what sort of a running average of traffic conditions is in reality. Next slide. So, can you help me? It may be hard to see from here, but what they have shown in the darker red and orange is queues. Okay. Yeah. And so you just make a little median. Let's keep going through it. And what we'll see is that the distance between Walnut and Lowell, the queue keeps growing and growing. This is the morning. It's actually worse in the afternoon. And it stays there a long time. And you can see that the queue on Walnut goes from Crab Street all the way to Cabot. So my point is, if you have a traffic study, you've got to look at the real consequences. And this is the way to do it. In closing, I have to say that the traffic study is simply not adequate. And it's like going to a doctor because you have clogged arteries and they'll say to you, okay, we did the test. By the way, a lot of the data isn't it. We don't have the data. And guess what? We think you're going to be just fine. But by the way, we're going to narrow a lot of the arteries and roadways so the traffic doesn't flow as well. Yay. If I were the council, I would ask for a second opinion and do a careful study which looks at more intersections, more days, and I mean signalized intersections, more days, and is realistic about transit orientation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Arnson, there's one more speaker, is that correct?
Mr. Harrington.
Good evening, Mr. Harrington.
Good evening. Members of the City Council, members of the Planning Board, I earlier sent you a memorandum of objections from the neighbors for better Newtonville, and I've republished it and I've left a copy on your desk along with a green sheet and yellow sheet. The green sheet being a copy of the application for special permit and the yellow sheet being a copy of a general permit application. I'm going to just quickly run through these. I hope that if you haven't had an opportunity to read the comments, that you will do so before you vote on this subject. First is the question of the application for a zone change. It is, there are two issues here. Daily Place in Washington Terrace being two streets, and the question of the identification of the lots that are supposed to be in the zone change. There is a confusion between the application and the notice. The public notice that was published does not contain all of the lots. And how that shakes down in the future, I don't know, but the public notice does not contain all of the lots, and that's because it appears that the city clerk took the information from the developer's plans as to what was being developed and some of the lots are left off. Secondly, The developer is asking you to change the zone on Bailey Place and half of Washington Terrace. You will note that in both the application for special permit and the general permit application, there is no request to change the zone on Bailey Place or on Washington Terrace. So I don't know how you're going to accomplish that. Maybe you're going to accept an amendment, or maybe you're going to have to republish, but it is a legal problem that you look like you're heading to changing the zone on two streets, and there has been no request for that. I would also point out that in the deeds to the developer, the Bailey Place is not included in those deeds. That Bailey Place is a street that's been on the city maps since the late 1800s. There is a question as to whether this is a public way or a private way. One of the issues is the city plows and takes care of this way. Another issue is that if you look at Bailey Place, you'll see there's curbs. Now, maybe the curbs were put in by the city, or maybe they were done privately. But it's an indication to me that a street with curbs is a city street. And finally, in reviewing the deeds, one of the indicators that you have a private way is that a deed will say that you have rights to use the way. Otherwise, your land is landlocked, or your lot is landlocked. There is no protection for the lots on Bailey Place saying that they have any access to the street. And that would be another indicator that that street is a public way and not a private way. So I suggest to you that those are some of the problems. Now, the developer claims that the lot's 123,965 square feet. That's the size of the site. Two more minutes? Okay. I've included a record of all of the lots in the development, along with the areas as published by the city assessor, and I find they're 9,000 feet over what the city assessor says. So all the calculations they've done is based on their calculation in the city assessor's office says that there's 9,000 square feet left. I think that is the problem. I understand I've only got a couple of minutes, so I'd like to talk briefly about site density. This is a problem that I don't know the answer to. You have a lot of land. It says that you can use it for commercial purposes, and it says that above the commercial purposes, you can build residential units. It then says that you need 1,000 square feet per unit in order to count the number of units that you're going to have. Developers ask for a reduction to 725 square feet per unit. The problem I have is this. If your lot is 100,000 square feet and you use 20,000 square feet for commercial space, when you go to count how many square feet are left over for your residential, do you say, I go back and I take 100,000 square feet and divide it by 1,000 and I can get 10 units? Or do you say, I only have 80,000 square feet, I divide it and I can get 8 units? This is a question that, as far as I can tell, has not been determined. I always thought that if you had commercial space, you took the land used by the commercial space out of the equation, you divided it rest by the rest of the land by the number of the requirements set forth in the statute and the ordinance. And if you do that, in this particular project, the square foot ratio is not 1,000 square feet. It's not 725 square feet. It's 151 square feet. Now, Fred tells me I have to stop. And Mr. Chairman, if you have a couple more minutes, why don't you take them and wrap up, if you would, please. All right. I will be brief because the other issues, the open space issue, again, Bailey Place is included, which is a street, and that's part of their open space. I don't know if you can count that in. The traffic information has been done by Mr. Fraz. The transit-oriented development, I hope that this is put to rest, that this is not a transit-oriented development project. Transit-oriented development projects are allowed in an MU3 zone in the city of Newton, and the minimum requirement for land to build a transit-oriented development is 9 acres. This is a 3-acre site. This is not a transit-oriented development site. There's contamination on the site, and I've listed the various websites that you can go to. The Sunoco gas station has contamination and there are other potential contaminants. And the issue with that is that if you're going to allow any construction on this site, you have to set in place some municipal guidelines to protect the people who live in the neighborhood and who use the area from the contaminants. I don't think that the state comes and does that. It's something that you have to do. So that's what I have for what I consider to be a number of significant legal problems that should be resolved before this vote is taken.
Great.
And just as an aside, in what Mr. Fraz had to say, I had an opportunity to drive from my house on Lowell Avenue to Calvary Cemetery earlier this week, and I noticed the traffic. This was at 8:30 in the morning. Traffic was solid from Washington Street all the way up to Cumberland Farms, which is just before the Waltham line. It's just a solid line of traffic. And I think that what he pointed out, that this traffic problem is a serious problem and it's not going to be alleviated by this project. It's only going to be exacerbated by the project. I thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Gifford, come on up. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Rob Gifford, 41 Oxford Road. Should I push the button here?
I think that's how the magic works, but okay. I defer to our committee clerk on that. Ms. Khan, is there something? Do they have a deck lined up?
Okay, there we go. I'm joined by John Pears and Brendan Cohn, who are going to introduce themselves in a moment. But we're here tonight to speak to a question that a number of councilors and committee members have raised as to whether the mix of uses at this project should be changed to include office space. So this is really a discussion about the feasibility of building office at Washington Place, again, in response to questions that have been raised by some of the committee members and counselors. My background is in 35 years of real estate investment and development, and I'd like to ask Brendan and John to come up and introduce themselves and their background, and then we'll quickly go into to the presentation.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, John Pears. My wife and I have lived in Newton for 33 years since we came from South Africa, raised 2 sons here through the public school system, and are still very happy. I've been on the Economic Development Commission here for a while and the co-founder of Newton Villages, a group that wanted to see if we could do a little good in terms of improving the village centers of Newton. Professionally, I am the managing principal of Perkins Eastman Architects in Boston, which I founded about 8 years ago. It's a subsidiary of a 1,000-person architectural firm, one of the 10 largest in the country, that does a lot of mixed-use projects, a lot of housing, a lot of other things too. But I'm going to be speaking a little bit tonight about this type of project and how the various components of mixed use could fit together in a building like this or on a site like this.
Good evening. I'm Brendan Cohen at 115 Jewett Street in Newton. Professionally, I work for Jones Lang LaSalle, a commercial real estate firm, and I specialize in advising landlords and tenants in office leasing in the Newton and Central 128 area.
Did your firm submit something in connection with the applicant here?
Yes, we did. Submitted a memo on the viability of office development.
So are you speaking in your capacity working with the developer, or are you speaking in an individual capacity?
I'm speaking in a professional capacity, individually giving a perspective of office development at the site.
Okay, go ahead.
So, in terms of office development here, I think the site is extremely challenged. On the screen are three examples of new and recent construction. TripAdvisor, Wolverine, and Clark's all moved into new buildings. They were new construction. These properties, what they have to offer these tenants, is not something that the developer can offer at Washington Place. So if you notice, these are all very large tenants that lease space for long term at large sites. So these properties are able to accommodate a host of amenities, cafeterias, fitness centers, specifically parking. The parking column there shows that these sites can park a lot of cars. In the Newton Corner, Newtonville area, the traditional parking ratio is about 2 spaces per 1,000, which is a significant discount to what we're seeing up here. These properties are also located on Route 128, which is a major commuting highway for a lot of these employers, and most of the office supply is located along Route 128. Therefore, you see a lot of demand there too, most of the demand. Newton, in Washington Place, we consider this the Newton Corner market in terms of what we track. That's a smaller niche market. There's not a lot of office space there. Rents in Newton Corner and Newtonville are in the low 30s to mid 30s per square foot. At a lot of these sites, these are triple net numbers, so you got to add some about $12 or $14 per square foot to net them out. So I'm sorry if I made that confusing. But rents along 128 are about 30 to 45% higher than they are over here in Newton Corner. So there's a rent premium there that to justify new construction for office tenants in a site that is not accessible to 128 is challenging.
Can I just interject here? I'm trying to understand something, and I think for the edification of the committee, it's really important here. Is this your personal view, sir, or is this what is Jones LaSalle Lang's view? Because this looks really similar to the materials that were submitted to us by the petitioner.
Yes, I submitted those materials on behalf of the firm.
All right. Well, this was supposed to be a public comment by members of the public, not an additional presentation by the petitioner. So why don't we go to what the presentation by the members of the disinterested public are and not an additional presentation by the petitioner.
We wanted to establish what the market rent would be for new office space at this site. And Brendan was the person who was the most knowledgeable about the market. But let's keep going.
Please.
Okay, so this is going to be very hard to read, but this is a pro forma that was prepared by the developer, but reviewed by me, and again, I've had a lot of experience looking at pro formas, that looks at what the cost, if you took one of the buildings and you made it office versus residential, you know, how much would it cost? So we tried to establish what the revenues would be. We'll come back to that in a second, but the costs here, if it's a purely residential building, there's that yellow line there, the cost would be about $25 million for a single 83,000 square foot building. That's about $300 a foot. Office would be $40 million or almost $500 a foot. That's a big cost premium. So why is office so much more expensive? First of all, it requires much more parking. You have to have 3 or 4 spaces per 1,000 square feet. You can see the number of parking spaces there are 250. That's all underground parking, very expensive to build. Office tenants require tenant improvement packages paid by the landlord in the $50 to $75 per square foot range, and then the construction of the building for an office building is typically steel versus wood. So these are all things that drive the cost of the office use up substantially, in this case, almost $500 versus $300 a foot versus residential. So it's much more expensive. And then we look at rent. So to finance an office building today, you know, again, from where the capital markets are, what it would take to attract debt and equity capital, you would need to have income over costs that would give you about a 7.25% return. It could be 7, could be 7.5, but let's say 7.25% return. If you take those costs on the prior page, and then you move up and you say, how much rent would we need to achieve to get that? On the far right-hand side there, you'll see $54 a foot. So that's what you would need to get to a market rate of return that would attract capital to build an office building on the site. If you drop back down, based on Brendan's analysis, which I think is generous, this site could potentially attract a $40 rent. So that's, in other words, market rents today for space in this market would have to jump by over 35% in order to get to a level where it justified new construction. Looking at it another way, if you were to go ahead and build the building anyway and get that $40 rent, the owner would be getting under a 5% return, which would be a huge money loser, nothing that capital would look to finance. So if you look at the market rent, and again, Brendan, you know, volunteered his evening here as a citizen. He has done the market analysis for this group and many others, but we've established what the market rent is for this location. These are the costs. It's uneconomical to build office space. So that's from a financer, and this again is in response to questions that were asked by members of the council. So now John is going to talk about the design challenges.
Just a question, if I could. That assumes all of the developer statements about what it would cost to build the project if it was office space, and assumes, as he does, that there are no parking waivers on the commercial side, but they're asking for parking waivers on the residential side.
You couldn't get a tenant without that parking.
This is also looking at large-scale office space, not office space for smaller tenants. Am I correct?
Whether they're smaller or larger, I mean, your general ratio of parking that you're going to require for somebody to move into a building here is going to be, again, here I think the assumption has been 3 spaces per 1,000, but that's at the low end. That's just what office requires, whether it's here or probably out on 128, it might even be 4 spaces per 1,000. And again, these numbers were provided by Mark, by the developer. I reviewed them, I vetted them. They appear to be reasonable to me. I got no interest in this.
I just want to understand from not only my edification, but for everybody else's, where we're coming from, what numbers we're using, what assumptions we're making. That's
fair
all.
Enough.
Okay, thank you.
So I'd like to hand it over to John Terrence now to talk about the design side of the equation.
Are you going to do the
amendment? No, I'm going to let you do it, but sometimes you have to hit it like 4 times before it...
On the right-hand side.
Maybe your thumb's better than mine. There we go.
Okay, sorry. So, just to be clear, the developer hasn't seen this presentation until I sent it to Rob tonight to pass it on to Alexandra Anand, I think it was. And at that stage, the developer was copied. So the developer hasn't contributed towards this at all. I don't really know the developer. I'm not, you know, part of his team or anything like that. I just want to be clear. My motives for being here are that I'm very keen that Newton develops in positive ways. And sometimes there isn't enough information out in the public realm that people have all the information that they need to make, I think, sound decisions. So right at the base of it, I'm a big believer in mixed-use projects. I think that they are really good. I think that they create vibrant streets. I think they promote walkability. They create activity at day and night. And they really can create usage of the public streets 7 days a week. My kids, as they grew up from babies, they were born here until eventually they'd left and gone to college, always bemoaned the fact that there was like nothing to do in Newton. So part of what I try to do in Newton Villages was
for kids and teenagers, and I didn't really succeed, but make better places, public spaces that were friendly towards people of all ages. So what is mixed use? Mixed use is either what you see along the top, where you get a site and you build some office and you build some retail and you build some apartments. And unfortunately, that's what actually happened at Riverside. That to me was a great disappointment. I put a lot of time, personal time into that, and advised the developer and worked with members of the city. And I feel it was a great, unfortunate compromise. That's what we've got at Riverside. What I designed actually as a pro bono thing was something more like the lower one, which is got still mixed use, but it's got retail and it has office and it has apartments. And so rather than separated horizontally, it's separated vertically. So why? Why is it better, the one, why am I proposing that one is better than the other? The trouble with the separated pieces is that at 5 o'clock or maybe 6 o'clock, the lights go off in the office building. There's generally no people in it. And the area around, immediately surrounding the building, doesn't have the life and activity. The retail continues, the apartments continue, and so there is life, but there tends to be a little bit of a zone that actually is dark and is not as conducive to that vibrant street life. A better solution is below, where having just one floor or a few floors in a building that are dark doesn't matter that much. You've still got the restaurants open at night, you've got the apartments above, and you create a kind of a harmonious streetscape. One of the models of mixed use is apartments over retail. I actually chose 4 stories and 5 stories, and that was my only nod to this particular site location, but it also happened to apply to Austin Street. I was one of the designers that designed the project for Austin Street, and I designed 4 stories. I was the lowest, so I didn't get chosen. The key here is understanding that in these types of buildings, you have, with mixed uses, you have different egress requirements. So if you have retail and parking below, you need stairs and elevators to get to them. Once you go to a more complex building where you actually put the office above the retail, the way that I was describing as a better urban design solution, you land up needing a separate elevator to get to the office space, because you just cannot, for safety reasons, mix the individuals that come to offices with the private tenants in the residential. You also need often a separate stair to get up to the offices, because you don't want people lurking in the stairwells. So you can see very quickly how the complexity of the building, with many more stairs and elevators for handicap access and for security, tend to make the project more complex. One added component on the top left-hand side, every developer would love to build that building that's blue, because it's all made out of wood, which is the most economical way that you can build apartment buildings these days. Generally speaking, mostly, even in Newton, we don't have enough space to go to parking, so we land up doing the one on the left top, and we put some underground parking. At that stage, you need to mix the structure a bit and add concrete to the equation, so you've obviously added some cost. Once you go to the retail, you land up needing to have 2 floors of concrete and steel, and you'll notice the percentages are growing and growing. If you add another use, which is office, you land up with relatively small amount of residential per square foot of the overall building, and a huge amount of the other construction type, which makes it very difficult to build on a number of levels. One of them is fire and acoustic separation. You notice all those horizontal red lines. Between all these different use groups, you've got to have fire separation. Between all of those use groups, you've got different noise factors, so you have to use different acoustic mitigation. So as you work your way through from the most simplex to the most complex, you find that these projects kind of become unviable architecturally. So what I'm saying, it's just my opinion, is that the urban impacts of
the first model are not good. The urban impacts of the second model are good. However, what you land up with is a situation where the only way to viably build a building that has all that mixed use in one building is for it to be more in the range that I'm showing there, which is 60 or 80 feet, 70 or 80 feet high, which is not what this part of Newton or any part of Newton seems to be about these days. So I think what I'm saying is a site like this, I cannot see office working at any scale. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else you want to add?
No, that was it.
Great. Thank you. All right. Is there any other member of the public, who wishes to be heard? Come on up, please, ma'am. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Elizabeth Falksa. I live at 12 Tesley Avenue, just outside the abutter zone by a few tens of feet. And I'd like to read my statement tonight. I oppose the developer's request to rezone this site to an MU4 district, and I urge the City Council to not deny his rezoning and special permit request for this proposal. The developer is not only requesting to rezone the site to an MU4 zone, which allows 5 stories, but is also asking to waive almost all the zoning requirements of the MU4 district and the parking requirements for this proposal. As a result, granting the developer's rezoning and special permit request would maximize the impact of this development on my surrounding neighborhood in terms of increased density and congestion. I am very disappointed to see that the developer's design changes for this proposal do not include significantly reducing the height, scale, number of housing units, and the amount of commercial space. Newtonville residents should have a say in creating a plan for our village, which retains the village scale. The city should not be facilitating oversized development projects by granting rezoning and special permit requests, which will overwhelm our village, only benefit for-profit developers, and create a precedent for more large-scale development up and down Washington Street. I'm concerned that the mayor and the planning department are advocating for development on this site as one of the 7 priority sites for development in the mayor's new housing plan during this special permit process. The mayor and the planning department seem to be more interested in meeting the goals of the mayor's housing plan than listening to the concerns of the residents who have not asked the city government or the administration to focus on increasing density throughout the city. There are more appropriate ways the city can meet its affordable housing goals, such as working with nonprofit developers who would develop a smaller scale project in which the same number or more units would be perpetually affordable and would be counted on the state housing inventory. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any other member of the public wish to be heard this evening? Come on up. I'm not closing the public hearing, so we're really clear there'll be ample opportunity for members of the public to speak at later occasions, and you can always submit your comments to us in writing. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Pam Sufro, and I live in Newtonville on Blythedale Street. I wasn't going to speak, and this is really just a question, because it comes up with regard to this presentation about market rates for businesses for office space. I had requested from the developer what the market rates would be for the residences, the apartment rentals, and I think given the fact that there was a presentation about the market rate for office space, I think it would be appropriate for the developer to also provide that exactly what the projected rents would be for the various market rate apartments. And especially since people have been really talking about the affordable units, there really will only be a net of 21 because, you know, they have to take away the ones that are being demolished. So with 150 market rate apartments and 21 net affordable, it's really important to know what those rents would be. And I think that that would really help people understand what the implications of the project are. So thank you.
Thank you, and the developer and his counselor are here, and I'm sure they heard your request. Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Peter Bruce Clapham, place in Newtonville. Tonight I noticed that there are only two members of the Planning and Development Department here, or committee rather, and I think our quorum is three. I sat in on one of their meetings, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Mr. Wolf, the chair, said that he was frustrated that there wasn't a direct conversation between that committee, his committee, and the developer about why rezoning was needed in the first place. And I just wondered, what's the reason why there isn't such a thing?
You know, this is the Land Use Committee. They're sitting here by, the Planning and Development is sitting here by invitation to try to facilitate it, but I don't speak for them, and I think you should address your comments to Mr. Wolf and the other members of the board.
Okay, well, I wonder if maybe Mr. Reese and Mr. Dollinger could answer.
Do you gentlemen want to speak?
Sure. Could you restate the question, then?
Well, it seems like Mr. Wolf was saying that there ought to be a meeting of your committee with the developer to discuss why rezoning was needed in the first place. And there seems to be a split on your committee, and it just seems to me like there's kind of an onus on the public to oppose here in this committee. Or I'm wondering why the onus isn't on the developer to explain first why he needs rezoning. And then we can talk about all the bells and whistles and, you know, redesigning things and things like that, and things like that. But that seems like it's a really big issue, and it's a big issue for the whole community, because we're all concerned about, you know, do we want to become more like Boston, or do we like having a more suburban Newton?
I think we have a question for Mr. Heath. Do you want to try to answer that?
So I think the answer is that the Planning and Development Board has been at the initial meetings for this on the zoning. This is a lengthy process, more lengthy than usual for the Planning and Development Board around the strict issue of zoning per se. So I think the discussion at the last meeting was in terms of process. But I think the intention is to have a presence at every one of the meetings throughout this process and then deliberate and make a decision as part of this process.
Yeah, I'm just asking why don't you insist that the developer go before you and justify having more than three stories?
I'm going to ask that we not have a back and forth here on this, okay?
Okay, I understand that's political. Thank you.
I think you posed the question. I think this is something for the Planning and Development Board to consider, and I'm going to suggest that the Planning and Development Board, their business, how they conduct business, but I think it would be appropriate, if you're not going to get a quorum here, that you figure out a time to get your quorum so you can have your appropriate deliberations at the appropriate times. And that you do, of course, provide due notice to all members of the public so they can be heard.
Thank
okay?
you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wish to speak this evening? Again, not speaking this evening doesn't mean you can't speak in the future. All right. Thank you. We're now going to... Is there anything that planning wants to add this evening? I'm going to see if my fellow counselors have any questions or comments for the petitioner or planning based on what we've heard this evening. And I just want to take an opportunity to thank all of our speakers tonight. I hope we're really, really trying very hard again to give ample opportunity for members of the public to be heard. Your voices, whether you're for or against or neutral on this project, are very important to us. I assure you we listen very carefully. I particularly want to thank the three organized presentations. I know that was a little bit out of what we usually do. Appreciate the time and the thoroughness and the information you provided us. I'd ask if you had written materials and have not submitted them yet to us, please arrange to do so with our committee clerk. I want to make sure they get posted for anybody who is not attending or maybe not going to watch on new TV. Anything that's presented to us, the public needs to be able to get access to see it. They should be scrutinizing our work very carefully. I think that's something I know I take very seriously. So if you would, any presenters, want to submit your material to our committee clerk, that'd be great. With that, colleagues, questions or comments?
Why don't I start with Councillor Albright and Councillor Crosby?
Thank you. So I was intrigued with, during the petitioner's presentation, with the notion of the pocket park, and the question was raised about it during the one of the speakers raised the question about that pocket park, and you don't have to answer this tonight, but if you know the answer, fine. If not, later. You know, what is your intention? If we end up with the pocket park, is it your pocket? Is it the public pocket park? And, you know, what's the future? What would be the future of it?
Sure. My initial thought, and please understand this is something that we've only thought about over the last couple of days, is that the developer would retain ownership, but there would be restrictions on it, and there would be restrictions in perpetuity that it would remain as open space, and there would be some kind of a protocol with the city. I just want to emphasize one other point. There are two ways that that pocket park could go. One is the one Damian presented, which we thought was kind of the activated option. The other is it could just be a green park without the activation. Either one would be fine with us. Okay.
All set, Councillor Albright. Councillor Crosby?
Thank you. I have a couple of comments and then some questions. Not too many. But I guess I first of all really found tonight interesting, and I particularly want to thank the organized speakers as well, really for some of what was said in all three. And I'm going to address that first. I especially appreciated the history and putting into context what the mixed-use district can do and can become. I agree with Mr. Pears, who, in the very simple terms, that mixed use can be is good, and that actually if there's a promise here, then I think I feel like our job is to make it. There's promise here for a better environment that will be for all people. I feel like our job here, and you know, one of the things we always try to do in special permit is to always try to make it the best it can be. And that means a lot of different things, but I just want to mention that. I also, and I'm hoping we're going to get responses from the law and planning department, particularly on a lot of the legal objections that have been made regarding the clarification needed for the lot ratio to units in commercial space, clarification on the accuracy of the site survey vis-a-vis city records, clarification on ownership of Daily Place, and a response to the notice, how the notice went out with regard to lot IDs. I trust that we will get that information back from the city because it's way above my ability to discern. And I'd like some good advice on that. I also really appreciate the advances, I'm going to say the refinements in the design that was presented by the petitioner and the petitioner's team. I found and find it very responsive to a lot of the concerns that many of us have expressed. I think what I've seen is tremendous improvement in making our public spaces, particularly the sidewalks and the streetscapes, really wonderful places for people as opposed to just, you know, better places for people. I think you really heard that and addressed it. I also find it interesting that you have actually offered us an alternative. I'm not quite sure what to how I feel about that at the moment, but I like that you've really taken some what I think are not minor, but I think are bolder moves to try to, you know, reduce the sense of mass of the building by substantially moving parts of the fifth story back, creating more outdoor spaces for people who would be living within the project, which I think is important because you don't want to just create a lot of boxes for people to live inside. You want to create outdoor space in a lot of different ways, and I think that makes it a better place. So that my comments to the petitioner that where I'm looking for some more information, I want to preface with, you know, one reason I think mixed-use environments are good and that they are a necessary part of the future, because we have to be solving what we build now. We have to be using what we build now to solve for the challenges our kids are facing now and that they will continue to face in the future. And that's no mean feat. But the mixed-use model is really good because it is environmentally superior to spreading housing out and spreading commercial spaces out all over the landscape. And to that end, I am pleased that you filled out your response to, you know, what makes this an environmentally superior project with regard to addressing our fifth criterion. By noting a lot of the transportation-related advantages, the sharing, and so forth, and other things that really are about that. But I still think it doesn't go far enough. And I'm looking for, I was not happy with the answer in our booklet to the question of, you know, what are you doing to address the fifth criterion? And I really want to emphasize this tonight because I feel that we need to be able as a community and as a body to speak much more intelligently about what we're looking for here. Transit-oriented development, whether that's the right moniker or not, condensing and mixing uses, and a lot of the things that this project is about is all relates to those environmental principles. But in addition, calling it LEED certifiable is not actually achieving the moniker. Somebody has to figure that out. Somebody has to vet that. And there's a lot of different ways to achieve it. Just so everybody's clear, the LEED program is one of many rating systems that are available. And it's good that they're available to figure out better ways of building more to conserve more resources, to conserve energy. I would like to see more specifics addressed on this building in particular. Because it's primarily residential, you do have other opportunities and specific things you can talk about. I have to imagine that at this stage you're thinking about them because you've got a pro forma and you're realizing what your costs are. So, there are other metrics. There's actually getting certain certifications. One might be the, Energy Star Homes for Multifamily Projects, for example. I saw shaking head, that's good. Those are things that our fifth criterion is intended to, you're asking for something special from us, we're asking for something special from you, which is to build to a better standard, a more energy efficient and durable standard than what is required by the ordinances and codes and so forth that we have in place. I think you're probably doing that, but I want, instead of saying we're going to meet this standard, I'd love to hear some specifics. I think, you know, not in a lot of technical detail, but in clear terms that tell us, you know, why is this a better project that's serving our future needs in that way. So that's it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Crosby. Councillor Yates?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the format of tonight's hearing was, I think, much better and much more accessible. I think it worked really well.
I'll take the compliment anytime I can get it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, you earned it. Except there was one thing, since I got here late, I didn't hear the explanation for what was the green space that appeared to be in some of the sketches for south of Washington Street across from the development. I think some of the other speakers, the one from Citizens for Better Newtonville, made some mention of his experience in transportation. I'd like to see a little more, a listing of what that was. And I would like to see, as that gentleman suggested, some filling in of the traffic analysis that said data not available. I think we really should get that. I would also appreciate some further background beyond the mixed use four. I do remember what my chairman said about developing this for Austin Street. I think we were playing with mixed use three for Chestnut Hill Square and something else down on Route 9 and for Riverside. So I'd appreciate at least a brief reminder from the planning department. What was mixed use three developed for, and how does it relate to mixed use four? And finally, I'm sorry, my colleague from my ward, I forgot what the fifth criteria is, so if you could tell me, that'd be good.
If you want to educate him, go right ahead.
Well, it's probably a good point just for public edification, too. So that is what we added in 2008 or 7 or something. I was not here, but I was involved in it, and it has to do with making a substantial contribution to the conservation of energy and natural resources. And that's the exact language, in fact.
Thank you for reminding all of us, Councillor Crossley. All set, Councillor Yates, Councillor Cody.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Probably very brief. I just had a question to sort out the players here tonight. So I understood when the presentation happened who was representing who, but then we had three groups, Mr. Chair. So I don't. So the first group that came up, are you consultants for a developer, or just private citizens coming up on their own? Then the second group, I pretty much understand, for the residents of Newtonville, and then the third group, I'm not sure who they're.
I think I'll speak clearly. My understanding is that the first presenters were speaking on their own opinion. The Newtonville presenter is the same, and the third were the same, with the exception of the one gentleman who was affiliated with Jay, John Frisell Lang, who had offered his time, I guess, this evening, but had been involved, as I understand, with writing the report.
Okay, so my question on the third group was that the same information we were given last time from the same real estate professional? I'm not sure.
There's information in our packet, I believe, this time, a Jones Marcel Lang report, which I believe, and if someone can correct me, or the developer can correct me, is the person who was actually the author of that report. Am I correct?
Mr. Chairman, just one clarification.
Sure.
And it was confusing. There has been some overlook on Mr. Cohen. I just want to make it clear. Mr. Cohen has not been detained or paid by the developer. He's known in the industry. He's a local resident.
But his firm was to do this work.
No, they have not been retained. They have not been paid. This was a volunteer effort on his part, just to be clear.
The report from Jones LaSalle Lane that you submitted to us was voluntarily provided? And they just did this out of the pro bono goodness of their heart? I must say,
it is accurate.
No, it is accurate.
And Mr. Chairman, to be very clear about this, he is known in the community. My clients are known as the business community. People do things like this within the community. It's not a for pay thing. If you want to call it goodwill thing, but he's a local resident. He heard about the project, came forward. So can I be of some help? He said, sure, because he's
back. Are you going to tell us, Mr. Bookbinder, that Jones LaSalle Lane came forward and voluntarily said, we want to do this work?
Let's be clear about this. Who knew? Did you know him?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Who knows Mr. Cohen from other ventures?
That's all. I want to establish it was submitted as part of your materials. It certainly looked like materials that were submitted as part of the developer's package, and there's nothing wrong with that. That happens all the time.
Okay.
I just think it's important we identify sources.
Absolutely, and I just wanted to be clear 100% on the record on that.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you. Other questions? Are you all set? Anybody else? Councillor Norton?
What do you expect the market rate units to go to rent for?
So as we wrote in our fiscal report, we put a range of about 310 to 330 a square foot is what we estimated in today's dollars the market rate units would rent for.
And can you translate that, please, into the studio one bedroom and two bedroom with the rent would be?
By each individual unit? Testing my math. So I think we've got about 600 square foot studio units, so that'd be about $1,800, okay, ranging to a 1,100 square foot two bedroom, which would be about $3,300. Doing some work.
All set?
No, I have a few more. So, hold on, let me find my notes here. Would you be willing to reduce the size of the units even smaller just as a way to make them more affordable? Because that's very expensive for this area.
We think we size the units to what the market will support, and so therefore we'd like to stick to where we are.
Okay, another question. Would you be willing to reduce the size of the project to 4 stories?
Again, we gave you an option that we'd be willing to consider, so we'd like you to take a look at it, and that's something that we would be willing to do, 4 stories on Walnut Street and Washington Terrace.
I guess my, sorry, I should have been clear. My question is, would you be willing to actually just make the entire development in more than 4 stories?
We'll look at it again. Thanks.
Okay. I have another question here. So you offered the reduced commuter rail passes or key passes. Would you be willing to just offer free key passes as a way to really encourage people to not drive?
Yeah, so we're looking into, it's a great question, we're looking into that. We're trying to think of creative ways to disincentivize people not to have cars. So we're looking at a tiered system that if you don't drive a car, you get the full benefit and scaling if you do bring a car. We're also trying to cater to a program for affordable housing that offers a bigger incentive or more of a discount to those affordable renters. So we're putting it all into context right now as it relates to the parties that we think would be renting, and we're still sorting that out, but we're trying to be creative here to make this more beneficial for those people who actually become less dependent on cars.
And another related question, because I think there's an opportunity here in the whole Boston area. You talk about trying to get people out of their cars, but all across the area we see the same size underground parking garages we built, so it would be great if this was really doing something different. Would you consider reducing the residential parking garage to 1 car per unit rather than 1.25?
We'd certainly consider that, yes.
All set, Councilor Norton? All set. Any other, I have a couple of questions, but before I do you have some questions? Go ahead. And any other councilors? Go ahead, Peter.
So not really a question, but a procedural point, which is that the planning board is often at the end of the line in getting materials that are submitted in advance of these hearings, and it would be very helpful, I think, if we could be directly receiving them rather before the hearing so we could do our homework. And the second point is really goes to the comment about the planning board presence at these joint hearings. Planning board has a strong feeling that we get a much better cross-section of information by joining with the city council in these meetings. This does in no way prevent us from having our own private hearing and raising issues that we still need more information on, and we will do that, I'm sure, if need be. We are also embarrassed by the fact that we've not met our quorum on a number of occasions, but we find ourselves in a situation where we have no bench at present, and we're trying to get as many of the regular members here as possible. We had some extra problems this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I have a few questions. Attorney Bookbinder, you mentioned that your client now owns this additional control, this additional lot that you might consider putting it as a pocket park. Does he control adjacent land to that as well?
He does not control the post office behind it, but he does have an agreement for the two residential properties behind the post office. I also want to be very clear about how this came about. This came about when he was approached by the owners of those three properties who had concerns about the project and concerned about the access egress on that street. So this was really done to accommodate the owners of those three properties, and they're contingent on this project being approved. If the project is not approved, no harm, no foul.
And you'll be able to provide us with some more information by November about this so-called pocket party. And I don't mean that in a negative way, just to understand a little more information about it.
No, just again to be clear, this literally came up, I would say basically from last Thursday or Friday into this week. So this is literally brand new. We will have more information on it.
I'm going to ask both you and the planning department. We obviously have a number of questions raised from the Newton Village Alliance about square footage and things of that nature. Obviously, regardless of what you think about this project, we want to make sure that we get our facts correct. If it's 114,000 square feet or 123,000 square feet or 127,000 square feet, that makes a difference. And so we ought to make sure we get it right. So I would ask that you work in conjunction with the planning department. We're going to rely on the planning department, not on the petitioner, for the accuracy of information, but want to make sure that you provide them with whatever resources you can to help them do their job. And I do expect that the legal department is looking into other questions that are raised, including for the benefit of my colleagues and the public, what kind of a vote we're going to need from the board, whether it's two-thirds or three-quarters, to change the zone as it's been requested. I don't have an answer for that yet. I know our legal department is looking into that. There are obviously a number of complicated legal questions here. And again, regardless of how people feel about this petition, I think it's very important that we get clear, hopefully as best we can, unambiguous answers to the extent we can, and then can proceed armed with the appropriate information. I do have a question for planning, and I guess it's the petitioner as well. We've heard a lot about the bike lane that's being proposed here, and it's not a protected bike lane insofar as it's just a striped bike lane. So I'd like at least some thought given to what would be needed to make it a true protected bike lane, since that's something we've talked about lots of times as we've talked about true bike safety in the city. I, for one, I think it's wonderful to paint lines everywhere, but I don't think it's particularly safe. And if we have an opportunity where we're constructing something or reconstructing something, I'd really like us to give some more thought to that. Even if it's not a very long corridor, it's really by way of example as to how we improve our infrastructure at a critical intersection. I know it's very difficult. Maybe it's not feasible. I know we've talked about that a little bit before, but I'd really like to see us look at that more carefully. Maybe that means moving the building back a foot or two. I don't know what else is involved to make sure that it would be safe and appropriate and meet all other criteria. And again,
we'll definitely work with planning and look at it.
Good. And I do want, 1 second, Councilor Yates. I do want to hear a little more comment from the planning department about some of the observations of traffic and what traffic is like now and whether or not this traffic study in fact was complete enough. I think we heard some objections from someone who appears to have some knowledge about the topic. I think we owe it to the public and for us to at least to answer those concerns and address them. Are we going to get new renderings or plans, Attorney Bookbinder, with your kind of change proposals? Or how do you envision
this? What I would like to do is, as we said, we wanted to try it out there tonight to see if it was worth the time. Now that it is, we will promise to get those in at least 1 week before the next hearing. Would that be okay?
That's fine. It's really for the planet. Ms. Anant, is that enough time for you?
That is just barely enough time.
All right. See if you can do maybe a week and a half.
Give her 10 days. For Ms. Anant, it'll be 10 days.
Yeah, for her, you should do 10 days. Let's make her life as easy as possible. All kidding aside,
we put a tremendous strain on our planning department when we get the materials. We then have to generate reports for us. The reports have to go in the packet by Friday. That really puts a I know you know this, Attorney Buchbinder, but the public may not. It puts a tremendous strain on our planning department. To the extent we can help reduce that, it's in their interest, and frankly, it's in all of our interest.
I also just like to apologize to the planning board. I generally try to get copies, but we do this time. This is our last one, and in the future, we'll make sure you get copies.
I'm done for the moment. Councilor Yates, did you want to add anything?
I just want to follow up on the comment we heard from the planning board about their bench is exhausted. I'd like to know how many members of full members of the planning board are currently seated, as opposed to how many seats there are, and I assume that was a reference to your auxiliary members. Does that mean that you don't have any auxiliary members? And I guess Mr. Heath could answer this, that how does citizens who are interested in planning apply to become members of the planning board? I think there's a lot of zoning junkies sitting in the audience tonight who might have some interest.
One is limited to the number of people who are on there currently, and I think the other comments, Councilor Yates, while very important, I'd like to address outside the scope of this meeting.
Okay. We have 5 out of 6 that are members of the planning board. We have the ability to have 4 alternates. We don't have any alternates at the moment. One seat and 4 alternates, that's correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Heath. Councilor Norton had something else you want to add.
Sorry, I had one more. I had my notes in 2 different places. So I was looking at the RKG analysis of the gap between supply and demand at various income levels, and the gap is actually not at the 80% and 120%, according to this analysis. The gap is at the lowest levels, below 30% AMI and 30 to 50% AMI. I believe from the answer we got to some of our planning, to our questions that the planning department got answers to, that providing housing at those lower levels would also help these units count toward our SHI, if I understand the answer here. So I'm wondering if there would be some openness to, and interestingly, there's a gap over 120% of the AMI. But I'm just wondering if the developer could come back with some options for housing that would meet that demand as well as help these units all be eligible for the SHI.
Okay, thank you. Any other member of the committee, any other questions or comments? I see none. It's 10 o'clock. We are going to adjourn. We take this up, I believe, November 1st. November 1st. We'll see you here then. Thank you all very much. Good evening.